across the UK, online and on DAB.
A radio star is born.
You're going to love
Talk Radio. Talk Radio.
Thank you, George. Cracking stuff as always. This is Ian Lee. This is Talk Radio. Busy show tonight. At the start, sorry, I'm looking for a little connector in my bag. Little, you know, jack to... It doesn't matter. You don't need to know the details. You wouldn't be able to help me even if you had one. Starts off at 10. We got Limmy on the phone, who is just one of my favourite comedians. I think his programme is so dark and brilliant and hilarious. So we'll talk to him and then we'll take some calls. 0844 499 1000. This is Talk Radio. Here's the news.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
The wild man of late night radio is back.
Differently interesting nocturnal emissions from a legend of late night radio. Ian Lee on air and off the leash.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Blimey, everything went to pot then. Just at the very last minute, the whole studio collapsed around me. It didn't collapse around me. What happened, dear listener, was somehow I have deleted the Fall Guy theme tune from my computer. Just when I needed it, it has been deleted and it has gone. So I was trying to boot it up and I couldn't find it. I couldn't find it. So and I was panicking, and then I've not got the socket. Can you move out there? Sorry, guys, but it's a bit distracting. And then I've lost the lead, and I've it's a bloody nightmare. Anyway, it's Friday night, flipping heck. Deary me. 0844 499 1000 is the phone number, but don't call for a little bit because we've got one of the... I don't know how to introduce him without sounding all cheesy. I was going to say one of the funniest people, but that's... I don't... Limmy, how do you want to be introduced, Limmy? Oh, are you there? Is he there? Limmy, can you hear me? Tommy, can you hear me? Can you get Kath to come in and sort this out, please? Limmy, well, come. Let me just try again. Limmy, are you there? No, we'll get you back. Go and get Kath now. Thank you. Deary me. It's going to be one of those shows. Limmy, we're going to call you back. The thing is, I don't know what's going on. It's gone completely to cock this evening. So, tonight, we'll be talking to Limmy. If you've not seen Limmy's show, it's flipping hilarious, right? And you need to see it. I would suggest... Oh, dearie me. I would suggest, if you are over the age of 18, going to his website, limmy.com. It is the cleverest website that I've ever seen in my life. It's filthy. It's absolutely filthy, but it's very clever. Limmy, are you there now? Our phones are knackered. Well, this is a good start to the show, guys, isn't it? Isn't it? Oh, dearie me. Let's see. Let's try one more time. Limmy, are you there? No. I'm going to play a song, and we're going to fix the computer.
Well, I'm not the kind to kiss and tell, but I've been seen with Farrah. I've never been with anything less than a 9. So fine. I've been on fire with Sally Field, gone fast with a girl named Bo, but somehow they just don't end up as mine. It's a death-defying life I lead. I take my chances. I die for living in the movies and TV. But the hardest thing I ever do is watch my leading ladies kiss some other guy while I'm bandaging my knee. I might fall from a tall building, I might roll a brand new car, 'cause I'm the unknown stuntman that made Redford such a star. I've never spent much time...
Right, let's try again. Limmy, are you there now?
Hello.
Oh, blimey.
Yes.
What the bloody hell's going on with this studio?
I don't know. I was a wee bit worried that you thought that I'd maybe bottled it. And I was hiding in the toilet or something like that.
You,
I can't do it.
You do strike me as a bottler, Limmy.
No, I was thinking about it. But no, here I am.
How you doing, man? You all right?
I'm fantastic. Yourself?
Yeah, good, thank you. I have to say, I've kind of got a bit of a man crush on you, because I was late discovering you. I only discovered your show earlier this year, right? Because it was only on BBC Scotland, is that right?
Aye, BBC Scotland. It was on an iPlayer, but it was only on the telly,
yeah,
in the living rooms in BBC Scotland. It's on Netflix now, the first series, but it was only BBC Scotland. But it managed to sort of travel a wee bit here and there.
Yeah.
You know, but no, just Scotland, just up
this
there.
I don't mean just Scotland in a disparaging way. I mean, you know, I just mean in terms of access.
That's all right. You don't need to tiptoe around me, Ian. It's all right.
My granddad was from Aberdeen, and my dad's cousin used to play for Aberdeen. So, I know, that kind of gets me in there.
There's your receipts, as they say these days.
I discovered the show on Netflix because Netflix is one of those. Netflix is weird, right? Because it kind of, for me, means I lower my standards as to what I would normally watch. You know, if you go to like the video shop or something, you spend a long time picking Netflix. You go blah, 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 blah. And I'd seen your show flash by, and I thought, and one day I thought, oh, this keeps popping up. I'm going to give this a go, and I'm not going to expect a lot from it. Right?
Good.
It was. Honestly, man, from the first second I was hooked, that first sketch, I think the first sketch of series one is where you come out of a house and then you look and then over on the other side of the road, it's you.
That's right.
Pointing at yourself, and then he looks and it's you pointing at, and it goes on and on and on.
Yeah, double take, that's called. It's I was trying to do a wee bit, I don't know if you remember, what's his name? Something double take Finlayson.
The guy in the Laurel and Hardy films with the big moustache.
Guy kind of like that, and he was Scottish, I know. How about that?
Yeah, of course.
That was the first one. It's funny when I see the first series. I kind of prefer the second series because see the first series, I want it to be. This is sort of directory sort of thing, but I want to get in amongst it and put more music in and make it louder and faster and everything, which I did with the second series. So whenever anybody talks about the first series, I'm like that. Check out the second series. But I do like the first series.
It's interesting, because I've seen them all and the Christmas special and stuff. I kind of did it all in 2 weeks, the whole thing. And you're right, there is a progression. But I like the first series because of the silences in it. You know, it is all three of the series. It is. How am I going to explain this without sounding like an old head? I can't. It is the most LSD-drenched comedy show I've ever seen.
Thanks a lot.
Do you know what I mean by that?
No, definitely. I mean, how much can I say about this?
Well, exactly. We both have to tread carefully.
I wasn't on anything when I wrote it. I can say that.
Yeah.
But there you go.
Let's just say I've read books on what the LSD experience was like, and I imagine it would be like that. And literally, in as much as there is that beautiful sketch, but heartbreaking, about that fella that's just stood in like a car park or something, and he's been tripping for 20 years or something.
Permo. I used to say that when I was younger, when I was a teenager. How much can I talk about this?
You say whatever you want to say that you're comfortable with, but I'm not going to push.
All right, Ian. Some of my pals back when I was 16 took magic mushies. Can I say that?
You can say that, and I'll say, of course, we don't encourage anybody to do that, but I'm looking forward to hearing illegal. The rest of this story, yeah.
Which is illegal back then. I don't think it was, though.
No.
But it is now. And the next day, we all met up, and one of the pals... it was like he was still tripping for the day before. And he kept saying to him, "You're on a permo. You're on a permo," meaning permanent trip. So that's where that comes from. He's all right now. We didn't send him over the edge. He's fine. He's he does these big kind of talks, these big sort of socialist sort of marches and things like that. He's absolute hunky-dory. Don't worry about him. He's not on a permo.
It's honestly so good, and I just kept trying to get people to watch. You've got to watch Darth Limmy. You've got to watch Limmy's show. It's hilarious and it's dark. Was it hard work to make? Because it looked like you were doing. I mean, you were writing it. You were in it. You were directing it. I think, and some of those sketches are quite involved and intricate.
I lots of work, but I enjoyed it. And it's weird that some people that can write sketches and be in the sketches, but then the whole that stuff there, a director, they get to a director. There's other most sketch shows do that, and I want to direct it. I really enjoy it, and I can't imagine writing a sketch. And you know how it's going to be. You've got it in your head.
Yeah.
Where everybody's going to be stoning, what they're going to be saying, the sort of room it's going to be in. And no, you've got to, it's got to pause for a wee bit. It's got to be this expression on the face. And then you just give that script to somebody else, and then they go and do their interpretation. I could never do that. I want to do the whole thing myself. So it's hard work, but you just can't. I just couldn't get to somebody else and say, Gonna you make this sketch for me. But it works for other people, but I think for me, I would just be, I'd go, no, I didn't mean that, no, wait then, no.
We have one crossover that there is one sketch, and I watched it. I thought, oh blimey, I've been doing this for a long time, and I don't want anyone to think I've nicked it. For years, like literally the last 8 or 9 years on radio, I have, and dear listener, turn away for a second. I have been doing the what's heavier, a ton of bricks or a ton of feathers?
Oh, really?
Well, obviously,
right.
It's a ton of bricks, and then the number of people that would phone up and go, what are you talking about? They're the same. And I'd say, well, OK, let's break it down. What's heavier, one brick or one feather? They go, a brick. Go, right, well, then work it up to a ton. And obviously a ton of bricks is heavier than a ton of feathers.
And
And you've got that beautiful... And you just... I mean, it's just so controlled the way you do the sketch where with... what is it you've got on there? It's I can't remember what it is, how you phrase it.
It's a kilogram of steel and a kilogram of feathers.
Yeah, beautiful.
And I watched a video last night. There's this YouTube channel called, I can't remember what it's called, but it's these three sort of geeky guys that react to videos. It's one of these kind of reaction videos.
Yeah.
They're just three guys sit about and they watch videos. And somebody must have told them about that sketch. And they were watching it, and I was watching it last night, and they were watching it. It's a sketch, right?
Yes.
Yeah. It's a sketch. I'm having a laugh. But they were watching it and taking it pure seriously. You know, they had their head in their hands, kind of face palm type of thing. Like, oh, come on. It's the same way. This guy's got to be, he can't be serious. I'm not serious. Look at that. Look at how it's lit. It's a professionally lit sketch with music. It's not like some guy who's filmed on the phone. But they took it completely at face value, unless I'm getting told. I don't know if I'm being told.
Well, maybe you've taken them at face value.
Aye, exactly.
And you're not meant to. It's a sketch.
Yeah. So I may do a reaction to theirs, and they might react to mine, and we'll just keep that going until whoever drops dead first.
Falkenhoof.
Yeah.
That is just beautiful. How do you come up with that stuff? That's a rubbish. It's a lame question. How do you come up with that stuff?
Well, Falkenhoof came for a few things. It comes to, like, in case any of your listeners don't know, it's this sort of phone-in, these sort of phone-in quizzes that you get, but it's a kind of adventure game thing. And you tell Falkenhoof, go north, go east. And I got it for, like, text-based adventure games, like, you know, when in the 80s or the 70s or whenever it was, when you did go north, get key, open door with key. A mix of that and a mix of Nightmare as well. Remember Nightmare?
Yeah, of course. Where am I now? You're in a room and there's a table in front of you.
Side steps to your left. One, two. Where am I? And also based, there's another one of the Falkenhoof ones. There's a Jester. It's in the second series.
Yes, yeah.
And I introduce a new character. This is Adventure Call is the name of the programme. And I decided to introduce this new character, this Jester. And I got that for Nightmare because they did that.
Did they? I don't remember that in Nightmare.
Well, it was a mix of two things. They had this Jester guy who wasn't sitting next to other wee boys and lassies who were, you know, telling the other one what to do.
Yeah.
There's this one that came into the room and he was called, I think, like Folly the Jester. And he had a laugh exactly like, and I asked Kirsten in the show, I said, going to laugh like him. It was like that. But they also brought in this new, like, you know how they got the old guy with the beard?
Yeah, yeah.
I say old guy's probably younger than what I'm now. But they brought in this other wee sort of pixie type of guy.
Oh, no.
And And I can't remember what that guy with the beard was called, but imagine it was called, like, Sir or something. Yes, sir, what they could do is they could maybe go north. Something like that. And you're like, who are you? Who are you? You can't. So I wanted to do that in a stage. I'm like, we don't need you. Everything's fine the way it was.
And I mean, it's beautifully observed when the caller goes, kill Jester. Well, kill Jester. It is. What I love about the sketches, and I know you got shows coming up and stuff, and we're going to plug the hell out of those, don't worry.
Fantastic.
A lot of the sketches, they're really sad. Dee Dee breaks my heart.
I like kind of sad things. I like stuff that's a wee bit sad, and Dee Dee's a bit sad, and Jacqueline's a bit sad. But
yeah.
I would make them. And I've got a sketch of Millport, which I think it's in the first series, where I want to go to Millport, which is this wee sort of holiday kind of island in the west coast of Scotland, and I give this woman at the train station a 40 and say, I want to go to Millport, you know, like a ticket to Millport. The train, she thinks, and I'm saying, no, I actually want to go back there.
When
I was 16, and I want to go back there and everything. I like these sad things like that. I try not to make it too sad, but Dee Dee's kind of sad. But Dee Dee, if any of your listeners haven't watched it, Dee Dee's just like what we used to call like a dosser. I kind of used to be one myself, like between leaving uni and getting a job, or between school and then going to college, sitting about, doing nothing, going to bed about midnight, then the next night you're going to bed about 1 in the morning.
And constantly stoned. He's a massive stoner.
Well, he is, but mostly it's kind of like, I never was, but my head went to pot just like his. You know, see half the sketches that you see, Dee Dee, like, noticing something in an advert at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
A tiny, tiny, tiny wee detail. That's what I used to do, and I would go and talk to my pals about it during the week, and they had jobs and lives, and I would say, did you see how in that advert there's a guy, there's an extra in the background, and he sort of looks at the camera, you know, that advert that's only on at 4 in the morning that you haven't seen, and things like that. Like there's a sketch where he has this dream, and he's not sure if it happened or no. Like he kind of went along this death slide.
That's the first one, and that.
Aye, that's right.
I had to rewind that and watch that again straight away because it was just so beautifully done.
Thanks a lot. It's based on a kind of true story. I think I've told a lot of people this, so I hope I'm not boring anybody, but I used to sleep so much, again and again, waking up, falling back to sleep, just constant 24 hours sort of sleeping, until my dreams became really normal, really, really normal, and I couldn't tell if they were real or no. And I remember saying to my mate Paul during the week, I met up with him in a pub during the week, and I said to him, oh, I thought you were going to dye your hair blonde. You know, dyeing your hair blonde. What are you talking about? You told me the other day, you said, oh, I'm going to get my hair dyed blonde like Gaza. And he's like, what? I'm like, all right, I must have dreamt it.
Oh, no.
Because the dreams were just getting so, they were like dreams about going to the shops for bread. You know, there'd be no dinosaurs or no rhino running down the street. It would just be like a dream about opening the door and looking at the door and coming back in.
And it would become real. You couldn't distinguish between the dream and reality.
Now and again, the dreams have become so normal that, like, if you had a dream there was a rhino charging down the street, and you woke up and you thought back to that a week later, you would go, oh, that was a dream. But with these sort of things, it was so real. So that's where I get.
And if I ask you anything you don't want to answer, just tell me to jog on, and we'll jog on. But I know that you've spoken publicly about being having depression and being suicidal. Or is that too much of a leap to make?
That's fine.
Was that then? And because we talk about this a lot. I suffer from it, and I had a breakdown last year, and we kind of, you know, so we talk about it a lot. Was how long ago was that?
For me, I mean, like that whole Dee Dee thing, no, I was actually having the time of my life during that whole time, but I was kind of suicidal for about teenage years, just on and off, thinking about it, and then work. It was kind of most of the anxiety more than depression, that I think back about it.
Yeah.
Because depression's like the big word you hear. depression. Depression is what eventually came about, but most of it was kind of anxiety, kind of wound up with things and really sick of things, and everything was a hassle and work was a hassle. I know that sounds really kind of crybaby-ish, like work was a hassle. Of course it's a hassle. Otherwise, you know, you wouldn't get any money for it, you wouldn't bother. So everything was just rubbish. I just hated everything. It was stressful, it was horrible, and I just wanted to just go under a bus or have an accident all the time. And I was out for years, thinking about it for years, and I would, I used to drink quite a lot, and then I stopped about 14 years ago, and then that helped a lot. But then just still not really taking care of myself, and a few years ago, maybe about 4 years ago, when my son was about two, I think, I was getting really bad, and I was getting into a kind of trance type of thing, and losing energy and this sort of thing, and grieving, like crying. I never cry, you know, I never cry. And I was like in a, walking into a cupboard and shutting the door behind me and greeting greeting my eyes out, because I was thinking, I've got to talk myself, I've got to kill myself, because I can't. Here, this is a nice comedy night, this, isn't it?
No,
I'm looking forward to everybody coming to see my show. But anyway, talk about that on stage. Listen, everybody, thanks for coming, but tonight is a wee change of plan. We're not going to get Dee Dee or Jacqueline. I'd like to talk about suicide, if I may. I know you've paid a lot of money for your tickets, but this is important. You agree, and everybody will be guilt-tripped and have to go along with it.
Guilt-tripped.
So you need to rehearse. You even need to rehearse a show. I could just hit out with that.
Yeah.
And they'll just have to sit there and take it, because they'll feel pure bad about it.
Who's going to ask for a refund when the poor fella has, you know, confessed on stage he's thought about killing himself?
Always sick people.
Exactly.
Sick. But a few years ago, and I thought, right, that's it. That's it. I'm so close to doing it now. This is a joke. I went to the doctors. I've got a pal who's got a husband who was on antidepressants. And antidepressants are only for everybody.
Yeah.
You get people say, you shouldn't, some people say to me on Twitter, you shouldn't be talking about antidepressants like they're, you know, I don't deal with antidepressants. You should go to the doctor, read up on it. You might not need them at all. But they really, really helped me. Really, really, really helped me. And then I came after them about a year later, and I've been pretty much fine since, you know, I've kind of changed.
Sometimes that's all. I'm on them now, and sometimes you just need, they can help give you a little bit of a kickstart to just kind of help move stuff. Sometimes, you know, I've been on them for a while, and it kind of stops me. Doesn't always stop me. It reduces the amount of time that I think about killing myself.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work for everyone as well. That's the thing. There are lots of different things that work for everyone, but I think it's important that people check out all the options that are available to them.
I definitely am, like I said, like when I say it on Twitter, I do get some people who might say antidepressants actually lead to suicide, or, you know, these sort of things.
Yeah.
And I say, no, I'm just saying they work for me. They work for me. The funny thing is the speed that the doctor offered me them, I wasn't quite happy with that. He was just like, here's a Citalopram or Prozac or whatever the other name is. I can't remember. This other name for Prozac. No, he was just ready to give me them right there and then.
Yeah.
He didn't know what I was like, really. You know, should I be taking it? But Citalopram, it really helped me. Some people really don't like it, have a bad reaction to it. They have trouble coming off it. There's all these side effects, obviously. But it really helped me just every day. I just never hit any downers. And also these kind of repetitive negative thoughts, thinking about something you can't change, there's nothing you can do about it. You're just thinking about it again and again and again. I just sort of brushed that away, and I was just every day happy for weeks and weeks and weeks. And I wasn't in a kind of state like at a funeral going kind of that type of thing. I wasn't like happy when I shouldn't be.
Yeah,
I was just,
it was appropriate.
I just wasn't in a total downer that I couldn't quite shift, and it just gave me enough time to experience life, being happy for that long, for me to go like that. Right, how do I keep this? Eventually came after him. I thought, how do I keep that? And I've never felt as happy as how I felt on antidepressants. But for some people, I remember thinking at the time, I'm never coming off these.
Yeah, yeah.
But eventually I did, and it's a different experience, obviously. It's not as happy, but I quite like the challenge or trying to sort myself out in that way, meditation or thinking about it or avoiding certain situations and things like that. But if I ever felt like it, I would go back on them. It's good to know they're there, but I've been fine pretty much since. A few ups and downs like anybody, but nothing like before.
Good.
Nothing like before.
It's an important message, I think, because a lot of people, you know, it kills people. You know, this stuff kills people, so it's important. Let us go back. You're doing several shows. You've got, is it four nights, four shows you're doing in Edinburgh?
Yes, comedy, of course. Comedy, now. I'm doing four nights at the Edinburgh Fringe. That's my Daft Wee Stories thing. I've got this book. It's been out for about a year, Daft Wee Stories.
It's a brilliant book. I thoroughly recommend it. It's on Amazon, all those places. You know, they're hilarious. They're filthy. They're messed up. There's a really interesting video from BBC Four of you doing like a Q&A and reading some of the stories.
Right.
Is that the kind of thing you're going to be doing in Edinburgh?
That's pretty much it. But because this is a paperback coming out and I want people to come back and it's to promote that, and I want maybe the same people who came last year to come to the show. So I thought, well, I'll read out different stories for the book so they're not getting the exact same show. And they're like, oh, come on, read something else. So I'm doing that for, I think it's like 18th to the 21st of August at the Fringe. And then there's Lemmy Live, which
is... That's going to be you doing characters, is it?
I do like, kind of, characters. If you're, it's kind of like pretty much for the fans of this stuff. I don't know how well it'll go down for people who have never, ever seen Dee Dee or Jacqueline, because there's a few in-jokes, there's a few sketches that... If you're sitting there, if you're there and you've never seen this stuff, you might be like, I don't quite get it. Yeah. So if you are thinking of coming, please check out my stuff on YouTube first. But that's in the... So it's only 2 dates.
13th September in Salford at the Lowry. And the 16th, I've got it in front of me, 16th September at the Apollo in London. It's a Friday, so I can't come. Thanks a lot for that. I'll be working.
I'm sorry about that.
That's outrageous.
Can you not come up to Salford?
What day of the week is the 13th?
Aye.
What day of the week
Tuesday.
Is that? Is it a Tuesday?
I think it's a Tuesday.
Will I still be working?
Oh, yeah, John.
Can you not do one on a Saturday or a Sunday, sort of within a 20-mile radius of my house?
Listen, here's what I'll do.
Yeah.
And this is a guarantee, and I promise this in front of everybody, all your listeners here. I will come to your house and do the whole show for you in your living room tonight. once you're out the studio, and that's a promise.
But then I'll leave the door on the latch, okay?
Brilliant, I'm there.
Brilliant. Don't go, Limmy.com is the best website in the world.
Thanks a lot. Cheers.
You won't get much information from it, and it's not safe for work. Don't go there when you've got kids. But it is. How long did it take you to build that?
That's back in my old Flash days. I used to be a web developer, and there was this thing called Flash that you could make these interactive, kind of animated, fun websites. You can do all the stuff now with HTML. I'm getting a bit geeky here, but you can do all the stuff with HTML now, and that is HTML, but sorry, I'm getting a bit geeky here.
I know, I love it. Go on.
It took about an hour to make it. I just had the idea. I was in the toilet at the time. And I just see the tune that you hear when you play the actual notes on the xylophone thing.
Yeah,
that's what I was singing to myself when I was in the toilet. And I thought, wait a minute. I wasn't even thinking about anybody in particular. You'll know what I'm talking about when I say anybody in particular when you actually listen to the thing. But I just thought, wait a minute. I can make a wee kind of thing of that. And this is back in the golden days of web development, Flash. I mean, I'm taking you back now.
I miss the GeoCities. Do you remember the GeoCities websites, where anyone could set up a website?
I had one, the GeoCities Homestead or something, which is, I think, how you made the things. There's the banners at the top. The good old days.
They were the days.
And the Yahoo chat and IRC chat and... What was that other one? I can't remember what it was. Is this other chat? I was going to say PCP, but that's a drug.
That's a drug.
That one you hear in the trading places, P&P.
Trade places.
Angel dust.
Limmy, listen, I've just retweeted the link for your tickets for the Salford and the London show. How do people get tickets for the Edinburgh shows?
If you just search for Limmy Fringe,
it comes
Limmy
up.
Fringe Daffy Stories, and it's there.
Beautiful.
And that's something you don't need to know any of the characters or any sketches or something like that. If you're coming up, any of yours for down south or coming up for the Fringe, I'd love to see you there. There'll be a Q&A and a book signing at the end where we'll have a handshake and a chit chat and a photo opportunity and even a wee cuddle.
I don't like the cuddles.
If I
do things, I don't want people touching me. You know, I'll have a picture, but don't touch me. I've got personal space issues.
I really like that. I even got a nice kiss.
Oh, blimey.
To a guy before, and I actually signed somebody's behind.
Did you really?
Well, I do a wee joke at the beginning. Am I allowed to say the A word?
Yeah, go on, say it.
Us?
Yeah.
Well, I feel like Sex Pistols here. I say at the beginning of the show, and at the end, I'll have a book signing. I'll sign your books, your tickets, and in case you're wondering, I'll even sign your ass.
Yeah.
This is a wee sort of joke. And then there's a couple of guys at the end who said, would you really sign my ass? And I went, aye, if you want. And this is in front of everybody. And they pulled their trousers down, put their trousers and pants down, and your hairy, hairy ass, and I signed it. And there's a few guys. There's a few different guys in different places.
You know, some of the at least one of those men will have got that tattooed now.
I just go wear it. Just go wear what you've got there. Tattoo wear what's there.
Limmy, listen, man. At Darth Limmy, if you want to follow on Twitter, it's so nice to talk to you. You've made me laugh. I've had really crap end of last year and beginning of this year, and your program totally cheered me up and just made me laugh when I felt miserable. Thank you very much, mate. And hopefully I'll get to see you soon. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Cheers. See you later.
Take care. Bye-bye. There we go. That's Limmy. Just hilarious. The first series is on Netflix. The other two series are on YouTube. You can buy the DVDs as well. Get the Darth Wee stories. It is just... it's the darkest, funniest... best sketch show I've seen in a long, long time. Right, normal service resumes. 0844 499 1000.
Late night conversation. Wealth losing sleep over.
Ian Lee.
On air and off the leash.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
We have half a functioning studio. I've lost the blooming connector for my headphones. I left it here yesterday. Grr. Or they might be in my jeans that are in the wash. That should be all right. But... fingers crossed, we can make this work. 08444. Alan. Balls to you. Let's try there. Hang on. Alan!
Hip, hip, hip!
My studio doesn't work.
Oh, dear.
No, dear.
Who broke it?
George Galloway.
Oh, my, no.
George Galloway broke my studio. That's what he did. And boy, oh boy, oh boy.
George, you're a fan.
Isn't that true?
Was it because of a Chilcot report?
Yes, it was because of the Chilcot report. He was so furious, or otherwise, that he smashed the studio to pieces. The desk is broken. This time, guys, it wasn't me. Wasn't me. It wasn't me. Anyway, what you got for us, Alan?
I was listening back to one of the earlier podcasts.
Oh, yes.
And it was a week today, it was the last ever Straight to Air.
I thought you meant like ages ago. You mean last week?
A week today.
Yeah, a week ago today. Not the last ever Straight to Air, but the last one for a while.
Yeah, because I really enjoyed Straight to Air. Because it's really unpredictable, but it could be talking to you this one day, and then you could be playing songs or theme tunes the next minute.
Here's the thing. You can still play songs and theme tunes down the phone if you want, right? But since we got rid of Straight to Air, I thought we'd struggle to fill the last hour, right? We've had more calls than we've had in Straight to Air for ages. So it seems to work for me.
Yeah, long may it continue.
Well, exactly. Long may it continue.
And I'll beat Lady Kadonk.
Well, Yes, you did do that.
And I'm gonna
let you go because it's too noisy and I haven't got a fader, so I can't ride you. I can't ride you, Alan. So 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. Let's go to Pablo. Evening, Pablo.
Hip hip hip.
Hip hip hip.
How are you doing? All right.
I'm annoyed because the studio doesn't work and there's nothing we can do about it and it.
I thought you're having a bit of a fiddle on pre-show on Periscope, a bit of a anxious pre-Limmy.
I was nervous because Limmy was coming on and I'm a big fan and I always want. I've got this terrible thing, right, that I want to be liked by the people that I interview. But really, it's not important. Doesn't matter at all. He's not going to phone up afterwards and go, "Hey, Ian, that was great chat. Why don't you come around my house for dinner?" Although Andy Partridge did do that, and I blew that. But so I was nervous, and then there was just stuff was going on, and I've lost the Fall Guy theme tune from my computer. It's gone, and I have. Oh, hang on a minute.
Well, I'm not.
Just found it.
There we go.
just found it. So it was there. That was it. There we go. It's done. Anyway, yeah, well, what you got for us, boss?
Well, great hearing Limmy. I'm a big fan of Limmy as well.
He's good, isn't he?
Anyway, I can't wait for Daft Punk's Get Lucky, Feel Good Hit for the Summer, a stupid hit this summer, I'm sure. Anyway, the two main things. One is just a random... I don't know if anybody else is having this problem.
Go on.
But as soon as the summer seems to hit, over the last few days...
Yes.
In opposing rooms of my house, I've been having flies... On the inside of the house,
yeah.
Up against the window, nowhere else in the house.
Yeah.
I catch them, release. Well, initially I was catching and release them, but by this stage I'm just going on.
You would catch and release flies?
Well, I try and be a pacifist at the best of times, but, you know, sometimes, you know, you're just fighting an uphill battle. So, yeah, no, it's generally been squishing and,
yeah.
And the like. But they just keep coming back. And we've been in this house for over a year now, and I'm starting to think... There does seem to be a bit of panelling that's been redone on the wooden floor, and I'm starting to think that there may have been a body buried or something along those lines.
Right.
Well, by the previous owners, not by us. But, yeah, it's just a curious one. I'm not too sure exactly what's... going on with it.
Well, flies will always come with the heat, Pablo. What are you doing?
Sorry, I was just getting a pizza from the dog.
From the dog?
No, from the door. I'm
baby. Oh, is your pizza? Right, has so, your pizza just come? What have you got?
Just ham and pineapple standard. Well, I say ham and pineapple, pepperoni and pineapple. I've gone the next level.
I do you know what? Today, I've just blown the diet. I've just blown it. I was doing this thing today with Sam Delaney and Karen Danchuk. There's an odd pair. Be nice to Karen Danchuk. She's got her knockers.
No, I was just saying you were named Robin, not in any way any kind of comment on either person.
No, and there were lots of little nibbles there, and I'm talking about the nibbles on the table. And I just kept eating chocolate. It was those little chocolate and caramel biscuit slices.
Oh, okay. Oh, the shortbread, shortbread.
Yeah, is that what they call millionaire shortbread?
Millionaire shortbread, I think.
Why would you have to be a million? Anyway. And I just ate, they were there. And once I had one, I couldn't stop. And I was just eating them and eating them and eating them and eating them.
And also that'll be that there London's kind of buffet type of stuff. So it's all proper fancy. We're not talking just vol-au-vents and sausage rolls.
And then I thought, stuff it. So I went for a Chinese tonight.
Fair play.
But fat play. Fair play.
Well, eventually. Yeah. You know, it's all in the exercise. That's what I say. It's basically, yes. I do a lot of walking with my job. I'm always on the go, so I pretty much eat what I want and generally have an all right slim figure.
I'm gonna go for another little run tomorrow. I've got to be up early. Got the man coming at 9 o'clock to fix a little scrapette that I had with my car. Tiny little Scratchington.
A little kiss with another vehicle.
It was a kiss with a pillar in an underground car park.
Oh, yes, I remember you mentioning it on the show.
So man's coming to fix that tomorrow. So he's coming at 9, so I'm going to go, while he's doing that, I'm going to go for a little run.
But then what I'm going to do is I'm going to stand around the corner for half an hour so it looks like I've been running for an hour. Because I don't want to see my lightweight.
Well, I was going to say you could go one of two ways with it. You could either kind of get yourself a water-based drink and give yourself a bit of a dowsing before you come through to look like you've really been pushing the boundaries.
Yes.
But then equally, that may also make you look weak. You know, you might want to look at, yeah, just done 5K, no biggie, type of thing. You know, just going to go upstairs and do a couple of squat thrusts. If you're done, I'll see you next time.
Give us a call when you want me to come and check out the car.
Do you need help lifting that car down off the, you know?
Hey, Pablo, I'm late for some ads. Did we get to the point of your call?
Oh, no, yes, the main reason for calling, actually, yes, was just to say thank you for your show. I've been in communication with Mr. Gasford, one of your...
I'm sorry to hear
that. Yes, well, only time will tell. Obviously, he has his podcast, the Custard TV thing,
and
we have the Food Watch Film By podcast, a separate entity. And I've just tried to do a kind of a... organise a peer-by-peer review thing. So I've listened to a few of their episodes and he's listened to at least one of our episodes and we're going to have a bit of, critique.
There we go.
It's good to get a bit of feedback because sometimes it's hard.
You're
putting things out there and you don't know if anybody's listening and if they are, if they're just being polite when they're... So I'd rather, you know, and from what I hear of Gasford and from what I've heard from his podcast, he's quite forthright. He won't
exactly. Pablo, I've got to move on because we're very late for a lab. But those are the best critics. As long as they're constructive in their criticism, of course, not just idiots. Someone tweeted me earlier on going, "Oh, FFS, Limmy's going to be on the phone. That always sounds rubbish. He could do a phoner any time." And I replied, "All right, mate. You don't have to listen. It isn't compulsory to listen." And then he's still banging on online. He's going, "Oh, no. All right, mate, I don't have an attitude. Oh, I think Ian's muted me." I've not, but I'm yay close to muting you if you keep banging on, you numpty.
Late Night Ian Lee.
On air and off the leash.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Indeed, Matt.
You were listening.
Well, I have no control over the volume of the phone calls, so if I... everybody tonight, when you're phoning in, just be on your toes, guys. 0844-499-1000, but just be on your toes.
Can you hear people who are waiting on hold, or is it only when they're live? Because I've been clearing my throat an awful lot.
If you're quiet, just be quiet. See? Did you hear that?
I did, it was delightful.
There we go. So, we can hear people on hold.
They sound lovely. The reason for calling in, to move things along slightly,
yes,
is last night I called in and told you about the unidentified animal that my young son
an inch and a half long. It looked like a hedgehog without spikes and it could hang upside down from a hand.
Well, we thought it might be a vole. Yes. I run that past him and he said, no, it definitely wasn't one of those.
Oh.
He's standing next to me right now. I've got him for the weekend. Oh. And I thought maybe if I could get him to describe it directly to you. That it might help your other listeners.
Beautiful.
To see if they can identify it. Well, I'll pass on to him now. His name is Max.
Max. All right, lovely. Let's speak to Max. Troublemaker.
Hip, hip, hip.
Hip, hip, hip. Max, how you doing, man?
Hi.
Well, what you got planned this weekend? Anything fun?
Well, yes.
What are you doing?
One thing, it's going to be raining Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah! Oh, no, is that good or bad?
Bad.
Oh, boo. So what are you going to do? Just stay indoors and play Ludo?
No, we don't have Ludo. We have snakes and ladders and Ludo.
Snakes and ladders and Ludo. Do you, when you play
snakes... And a jigsaw.
Max, when you play snakes and ladders, right, do you play by the proper rule that you have to get the exact number to land on the final square?
Yes.
Good.
Because we normally try and get past the square.
What do you mean you try and get past it?
Yeah.
It's the final.
You're trying to get past the last square.
It's the final square. You have to land on the final square.
We normally try and get past the square.
How can you go? I don't understand how you can go past the final square.
You have to throw the right number to land it.
You have to throw the right number to land.
Max,
you have to go one step after the
okay.
ending number.
Max, tell your dad just to keep out of this, all right? I'm talking
to you.
You
have to go off the board.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, you have to go off the board. That's how you do it. All right, well, that's wrong. Now, Max, describe this animal to me, please, because we're all intrigued by it.
So, you know hedgehogs?
I do.
They don't cling on to you.
They don't cling on to you, no.
And they have spiky backs.
Yes.
This one clings on to you and doesn't have a spiky back.
So it's not a hedgehog?
No.
So what is it?
I don't know. Oh. I don't know his name.
Does it look like a hedgehog?
Yes.
Without spikes?
It does have spikes, but then it's not very sharp.
It does have spikes. That's interesting, because your chancellor of a dad said it didn't have spikes. Be quiet, Matt. So it has soft spikes.
Hold on a sec. Daddy, you said be quiet,
yeah,
Matt.
I did.
Sorry.
No, be quiet. I'm talking to Max. Go away. This isn't anything to do with you anymore. It's out of your hands.
I'm talking to my other son, who's desperately trying to get onto the phone, but I'll pass it back to Max.
He can come on in a minute. The other one, come on in a minute. Don't worry about that. Right, so, bless you. Was that a sneeze or a cough?
A sneeze.
Beautiful.
I'm in the car.
Oh. So, how big was it?
Quite little. It was, like, a baby hedgehog.
Maybe it was
like a baby hedgehog.
Maybe it was a baby hedgehog, because they have soft spikes on a baby hedgehog.
Yeah, it's a baby hedgehog.
It's a baby hedgehog, right. Okay.
I held a baby hedgehog.
Brilliant.
So it was a hedgehog?
Yes, it was a baby hedgehog.
So there's a baby hedgehog. Max, we had literally an hour on the show last night, and then you've just phoned up and said it wasn't a hedgehog, and then now you've put the word baby in front of the word hedgehog. You've gone, oh, yeah, it was a hedgehog. It was a baby. What was it like? Was it cute?
Yes.
Yeah? What did it taste like?
I didn't taste it.
You should do. They are delicious.
Maybe a hedgehog is weird.
You get a hedgehog, you put it on a skewer, and you toast it over an open fire. Oh, it's beautiful.
Cool.
Yeah, it's cool. Get your dad to catch one this weekend.
I said cool.
It's very cool. Get your dad.
Cool.
Yeah, it's cool, man. Get your dad.
Cool.
It's cool. I know it's cool.
Cool.
It's cool. I know cool like the Fonz. Get your dad to catch one. Get your dad.
It's cool.
Yeah, I know, man. It's cool, yeah? Get your dad to catch one. We found our level. And hello?
They're rare.
What are rare?
You know, the baby hedgehog.
Yeah, I know, but that's what makes them taste so delicious, is their rarity.
They're not delicious.
How many have you had?
I haven't had any.
I've had about 25 this week.
How is that? You had 25.
So he's had 25 hedgehogs this week? Wow.
Max, is there another young person that wants to say hello to me?
He's not young. He's 9. I'm 7.
Well, dude. All right. So is your dad? Is your wife staying with you, Max?
No.
Where is your wife this weekend?
She's at Chesterfield.
Your wife is at Chesterfield's.
And I'm in Manchester.
Okie dokie. And what do you do for a living, Max?
Your job?
Make dad be an idiot.
There we go. Make dad be an idiot. It's a great job. So let me speak to the 9-year-old. Let me speak to the more mature one out of you two.
His name's Harry.
I don't want to know his name. Names are of no consequence to me. Bye, Max.
I was just saying, we live in a mansion.
I wish.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Dad will tell me the truth. Let me speak to bye. Harry. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I'm afraid Harry's gone shy.
Oh.
Are you really not going to speak, Harry?
What?
You don't have to.
No, he doesn't have to. Of course he doesn't
cool.
have to.
No one cares. Max wants to talk to you again, but I think you've probably had enough of
him. No, I've had enough of you. Go away. I want to speak to Max.
Oh, see you then.
Hello.
Hey, man. What do you want to say now?
And
Yeah, we live in a mansion.
Yeah, and how many bedrooms has it got?
Three
bedrooms? That's not a mansion!
We've got 97 bedrooms.
Oh, sorry, I thought you said...
800 bathrooms.
Right.
And one chimney.
Yeah, well, you don't need one chimney.
150 TVs. 150 TVs.
Tell Harry that I just heard...
All of them are in the bathroom.
And all of them are in the bathrooms.
With a
90 plus TV. With a 90 plus TV in
the cinema room. Just tell Harry. Tell Harry we can hear him.
We've got a swimming pool full of jelly.
And a lake full of custard.
Hello?
I'm just imagining if I had a lake full of custard in my house, I would that wouldn't last very long because I would eat it.
And every day we always go in it.
Well. That sounds like... Let me speak to Harry. Come tell Harry I can hear him.
Do you have a kid?
Yeah.
Is someone copying me?
Who's copying you?
Because I could hear someone copying me on the phone.
No one's copying you on the phone. You've gone... What is going on there in that house?
I don't know.
Do you want me to call social services, Max?
No.
Are you being held there against your will?
No.
Cough twice if you want me to send the police around.
Don't.
I will send the police.
Please don't want me.
I will send the police around with a helicopter and some rescue dogs. They will rescue you before 11:30.
Oh, thank you for letting me out.
Don't worry, Max. We will rescue you. Stay strong, Max. We're coming for you, Max.
Okay.
See you soon, Max.
Oh, just saying, we actually live in the flat.
Oh. In that case, call off the rescue party. They live in a flat.
Talk Radio.
Good evening, dear listener. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. It's kind of the late night phoning show where you have to do a bit of the work. I'm not just going to sit here and give you stuff to talk about. What would you like to discuss? This is Talk Radio. Here's the news.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
There's a voice that keeps on calling me. Down the road, it's where I'll always be. Every stop I make a new friend. Can't stay for long, just turn around and I'm gone again. Maybe tomorrow I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow I'll just keep moving on. Down this road that never seems to end. When new adventure lies just around the bend. So if you wanna join me for a while, just grab your hat, come travel like that's old style. Maybe tomorrow I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow the whole world is my home. So if you wanna join me for a while, just grab your hat, come travel like that's old style. Tomorrow, I'll just keep moving on. Maybe tomorrow, I'll want to settle down. Until tomorrow, I'll just keep moving on. There's a world that's waiting to unfold. A brand new tale no one has ever told. We've journeyed far, but you know it won't be long. We're almost there when we paid our fare with a hobo song. Maybe tomorrow I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow I'll just keep moving on. So if you wanna join
tomorrow, you know I'm free to roll.
0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. So you can watch this on Periscope, periscope.tv/Ian Lee. But call in is the best way to get involved. We call you back. It's the kind of phoning show that isn't really about anything. We sign and sit here and we'll chat. And here comes a cup of tea. Thank you very much indeed. The studio's knackered, so it's slightly ragged tonight. More ragged than per usual. I'm not going to sit here and give you loads of stuff to talk about. I'll go through the papers in a little bit if we kind of run out of things to say. I'm a little bit clarty tonight. I've got a frog in my throat. Otherwise, you can just call in and have a chat. Let us know how this week's gone. Oh, right. So, two things. The film ring on August the 21st, which is where we are going to meet in a room above a pub in London and watch They Kill My Cat and outtakes from Kung Fu Elliot and bits and pieces. That has sold out now, guys. 100 of you are coming and it has sold out. So, we'll see how that goes. On Monday on the show, this show on Monday, we will be having Film Ring. We're going to talk about The Imposter, which is a brilliant documentary, which you can watch on YouTube and Vimeo for free. And it's brilliant. So all watch that, please. And we'll talk about it on Monday. We've got Charlie Parker, who is the private investigator in the film, is coming on as the guest. I must remember to send him an email over the weekend. 0844 499 1000 is the phone number. Yes, Hannah. No? Oh, flipping it. Come on, man. Yes, Hannah.
Hello, Lady Kadonk here.
Hello, Kadonk.
I heard Anna was asking for me earlier.
Yes, I believe that was the case. Why don't you two go and get a room?
Oh, no, thank you.
No. So does line two not work now? Is we saying line two is out of action? Okay, we're down to one phone line that works, and I ain't got no control over it. What could possibly go wrong, Anna?
None of this matters.
Only 1 hour and 54 minutes. 1 hour and 54 minutes. Da-diddly-doodly-bum. Da-diddly-doodly-bum. What you got for us, Anna?
Oh, my God. There was one, but there is now two. I have two frogs in my kitchen.
Oh, how has that happened?
Oh, well, I think they've gone now, but the cat brought in one.
Mm-hmm. They do, yeah. In their mouths.
Yeah. I shut the kitchen door because I didn't want to touch it. Came back 15 minutes later, and then...
Maybe it was like cells and it divided into two. That happens sometimes. That happens. Frogs are okay, though. I could, if I had to pick up a frog, I could do it. The best way to do it is a saucepan.
Oh, well, then I don't want to use a saucepan again.
No, then you wash it. So it's like you wash it. So you get the saucepan. You don't squash it. You put the saucepan over the top. Then you get a plate and slide it underneath and trap it. And then you let it out at the other end of the garden or down the store in your next door neighbour's washing or something. That's what you do. You know, you enjoy it. Enjoy it.
Where does it come from? Because I haven't got a pond.
Have you got a garden?
Yeah.
It's just there then. Where's the nearest water supply?
Oh, only half a mile down the road.
Yeah, well, there you go then. That's it. Frogs can jump. That's like seven leaps for a frog.
Well, we're Andal's in the middle of the countryside, so...
Yeah, exactly. Well, dormouses.
Oh, we get loads of them.
Yeah.
Frogs, I don't like it. Slimy.
You know, mice can collapse their spine.
Gross.
That's how they get through tiny holes. And I was so disappointed, because when you watch Tom and Jerry, right, a mouse hole is like a huge hole that you can fit a hand through in the wainscoting, isn't it?
Yeah.
But in real life, mouse holes, they're that shape, but they're tiny. They're tiny. You could probably fit a very thin pencil through them. And that's it.
Yeah, I guess so.
But because they can collapse their spine and they can go almost flat. They can fit through anything, mice. Absolutely anything.
Amazing, really.
Yeah, well, it's, they're amazing creatures.
Yeah, but it's not nice when a cat carries it in and plays with it, because they play with it.
Oh, God. I remember once, when I lived in the flat, and I had, like, a laundry box, like a big chest, a chest that was a laundry chest, and next, just by the wall, and it was, like, a small bedroom. And I could hear the cat dicking around, right? She was, like, jumping all over the place, and I thought, oh, flipping heck. I turned the light on, and she was looking at this laundry box, right, that was up, chest that was up against the wall. And I looked, and I couldn't believe it. Literally, it had its hands around the side of the chest and was looking up. It was a mouse. It was actually had its... I'm miming it. It had its hands on the side of the chest and was looking round at the mouse, right? And I was thinking, oh, for crying. And I said, Velvet, just get it. Get the mouse. And she looked at me and I said, get the mouse. Go and kill it. And she got the mouse. Right, somehow she scooped the mouse out with her hand. I thought, yes, we're going to have a clean kill here. But no, what she did, she tossed it from one paw to the other. She caught it on her claws, right? And the mouse was alive. And she did this like 6 or 7 times. And then she dropped the mouse and the mouse ran off.
Yeah, they just like to tease them.
Flipping it, kill it. Going for the kill. I got to put both my thumbs down to imply to the cat, kill. Kill it now. And she didn't. And the mouse escaped. And I then spent the... I had to go and sleep downstairs. I couldn't sleep upstairs. Couldn't do it.
No. Had to sleep with one eye open.
I couldn't... Could not do it.
How old is Velvet now?
She is 17 years old. Isn't that old for a cat?
Yeah.
Isn't that old for a cat? I mean, really.
She's doing well.
Yeah, she's doing well. The thing is, she doesn't go out anymore. She just sits in my bedroom. And she'll live for another 5 years, I reckon.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Well, they can live beyond 20.
Yeah, good for her. Well, look, now I've got the bloke that was. Oh God, the internet, Anna. What are we going to do with it? What would be great, right? What would be great is if they switched off the internet for a day, just for a day.
Internet. A lot of people would complain, I think.
No, they would complain, but their lives would be enriched by it. Internet free day. We're going to declare. July, what is it now? The 9th? We'll say the 9th. July the 9th, internet free day. The internet will be switched off. What would you miss if the internet was switched off for a day?
What would I miss? Probably something like Twitter or something.
You wouldn't miss Twitter.
Well, I wouldn't miss it. Well, not for a day.
No, exactly. I'd miss looking up videos on YouTube, but yeah. I could live without it. I wouldn't miss Twitter. There's this fella, right, who got arsy with me on Twitter because Limmy was going to be on the phone, right? He was really angry.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
He saw, FFS, it's going to sound, they always sound rubbish on the phone. Well, they don't. It could do a phone interview any day. And I said, don't, it's not compulsory to listen to the show, mate.
And but they're only typing that for a reaction, aren't they?
Well, yeah, and then he's going on and on and on, and don't be like that. Oh, FFS, mate, don't be like that. Now I think Ian's muted me. I've not muted him. I'm going to. Yeah. And then he just tweeted, 2 hours ago, I was looking forward to Ian Lee on Periscope with Limmy. F's sake, trolls be trolls. Basically, people have said to him, what are you having a pop for? Tony, I've not muted you, but do you know what? If I get another whingy message from you tonight, I'm going to block you, mate. I'm going to block you. I've had to block someone. I've had to just block someone else who used to be an annoyance at another radio station has suddenly reared a head here. Oh, jeez. People, the weekend can't come quick enough.
Oh, it's almost here.
It's almost here. Hannah,
45 minutes.
I'm going to cut you off.
Bye.
There we go. 0844 499 1000.
Late night Ian Lee. Unfiltered night talk with the original king of unconventional conversation on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
0844 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. Yes, Happy Tree. Happy Tree.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
I've forgotten what I was going to say now. Limmy.
Yes.
It was very nice to hear Limmy. I won't recreate any of his sayings because it's so difficult to find any of them that don't involve words of a certain category.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that I use Limmy's sketches in my classes sometimes to show students, you know, like this is real people actually speak like this. And the interesting thing about that way of speaking is that all these swear words, within that linguistic context, they have no offensive value whatsoever.
What like, on earth are you talking? What on earth are you talking about? Speak in English, man. I've got no idea what you're talking about.
Well, for instance, the Glaswegian word for person is the C word.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that you're casting any aspersions on their character.
No, it's not. No, it's not. The Glaswegian word for person is not the C word.
Yes, but in some areas.
No, it's not.
Of course it is.
Of course it's not. What a ridiculous thing to say. The Glaswegian word for person is not C word.
It is. Well, in some...
How come when I worked up in Glasgow, I never heard anyone say that?
But did you go to the East End and speak with lower class people like Dee Dee?
Well, but then that's the same in London then.
But do they use the C word routinely just to say that
no.
person over there?
No, because people do, but I've done that before. You've seen that C over there. Doesn't mean it's the word.
Yeah, but there are people who realise that it's a swear word.
No, you're talking utter tosh. You're talking utter balls, Happy Tree, and you know you are.
Okay, fair enough. Let's move on to the reason why I called, which was a mini film ring.
Yes.
I just watched a film yesterday, which I didn't know about. You must have known about it because you're best friends in it, Mackenzie. It's called Ant Muzak. Have you seen it?
Yes, I have. It's got my best friend in it, and also my nemesis is in it.
Oh, who's your nemesis?
Nick Moran.
Oh, because he looks very much like Adam Ant.
Yeah, yeah, it's good. Yeah. It's about Adam Ant going late night shopping or something, isn't it? I've not seen it
for
years.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
It's good, that. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
All right, Happy Tree. Nice one. Thank you very much. I'm not buying for one second that the C word is the word for person in Glasgow. I am not buying that at all. I'm sorry. I'm tapping away because I want to try and get hold of a friend of mine who's in America, and I want to see if he'll come on the show tonight. That's what I want. Yes, Sarah. Hello?
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 Yes, hello.
Sorry, it's my first time calling.
Well, hey, well, whatever. You've never called anyone ever.
Never used a phone before.
Wowzers, this is insane. It's great to have you on board.
Thanks. We'll see how it goes.
Well, let's see how it goes.
I just want to say, how cute was Max this evening?
He was good, wasn't he? He's put He's put a lot of the other callers to shame, shall we say. He was brilliant. Sassy 7-year-old. Seven is a fun age, man. My boys are going to be set. Well, one of them will be seven soon. And it's a fun age.
Just so cute. I watch on Periscope, and I hate the whole messages where they say it's boring caller and zzz and sleepy and just because he was superb.
Yeah, what were they saying on Periscope?
Just, well, every so often. I think there was one for Max saying, a sleepy sign, with the extended...
Oh, the thing about Periscope, right, everybody's welcome to come and watch the show on Periscope, but ignore the people. Most of the people on there are lovely, but there are some real idiots on there who kind of ruin it for everybody by just going, oh, this is boring. Or someone said, oh, I think you lost me in with the suicide chat. Shut up, man. You were hearing a man talking in some of the starkest terms about his mental health that you could ever hear. I don't care if we lose people because of that. We won't. We'll get people because of that. Anyway, Periscope is a little bit poisonous at times.
I think that's what makes this show so special, though, with those types of phone calls.
Yeah.
With the guy the other night about his son, it's such good radio because you don't get the standard joke phone calls. It's a complete mixture.
Well, Sarah, you're very, very kind. I'm not really feeling it tonight. I always feel a little bit when there are technical issues, right? They won't get sorted tonight, and that's fine. But it means I've not quite got all of the tools at my fingertips that I like to create, the show. The fact that I can't fade people in and out and I've only got one line and all of this kind of stuff. So we'll get there. It'll be an all right show. But I just feel I'm like flying a jumbo jet, and the jumbo jets have got four engines, and one of the engines is down and another one is starting to go a little bit. That's what it feels like.
I get you.
Yeah. Anyway, what you got for us, Sarah?
Well, first of all, I've just got two little points. I am 25, and I feel like throughout my life I've always tuned in and out with you. Oh. So Rise, I started with when I was about 13.
Yeah, blimey, that was a lot. That was, you would have been, 12 or 13 you would have been. Flipping heck.
I would not go to school without watching it.
Wowzers.
Just refused to.
You were the one.
Then I tuned into Absolute Radio when I went to uni, so that got me through 18 to about 20.
Yeah.
And then I used to watch Lost and loved your stuff to do with Lost. Completely loved all that stuff.
Hey,
and
now can you believe I got the reason I got the Lost gig, right? Because I was on LBC at the time, and I used to do like loads of podcasts and little programs about Lost. And the reason I got that was because I mentioned it once on LBC, and this guy called Colin messaged me on MySpace and said,
wow.
Hey, Ian, I run a small company. Would you like to do a podcast about Lost? There's no money in it, I'm afraid. And I was like, yeah, that sounds like fun. That was the best MySpace message I ever got. Because then I ended up going to Hawaii and hanging out with those guys, all of that stuff. It was brilliant.
Lost was a great gig for you, yeah.
And Lost was a great programme, and I will go back to it one day, but the last 20 minutes of it were awful.
Yeah, you know what? I defend that to my friends as well, and I really struggle because I love that program, and I'm all about the, if you look at it for the story, not necessarily how it ends,
no,
the whole way through. With it,
I don't buy that argument. It's the journey, not the destination. Nah, sorry, guys, that don't work. Not for a TV program.
But would you still recommend people to watch it?
No, because the ending is so pony. A few months after Lost, I had to go on some incredibly strong painkillers, Tramadol, and
I'm on that now.
Oi, baby. That stuff is nuts.
It's nuts.
Tramadol and something else. I don't know about. And I would have the most psychedelic dreams ever. It was like Tramadol is a heroin substitute. And I dreamt a better last series of Lost while I was off my face on Tramadol one afternoon.
Wow.
I can't remember it, but basically what it was is they were caught forever in a time loop because it was them that had made themselves go to the island. So future Jack and Kate and all of that lot had somehow constructed the plane crash in the past so that they would always end up going to the island, but then they were stuck in a time loop where they always ended up making themselves go back to the island.
I really like that.
It's good, isn't it?
It's
good.
Very good. I'm very impressed.
Yeah.
It's better than the super brain computer.
Well, all right. Let's not be rude about that. That was for a long time. That was. I think the writers heard that theory and they thought, wow, he's guessed it straight away. We better come up with something else.
Okay, yeah, touche. My question tonight actually is linked, I suppose, to all of this.
Yes.
I want to know your top three time travel films.
Oh, baby. Hang on a minute. I've just put the phone back here because I've just tried to reset Periscope. My top three time travel films are as follows. At number three, Time Crimes.
Oh, never heard of it.
Oh, it's Spanish. Beautiful, beautiful film.
Okay, I'll just make a note of that one.
At number one, we're going to skip number two for a minute.
Okay.
At number one, Primer.
I have a friend who loves this film and I haven't got around to watching it yet.
Man alive, watch it. You won't understand it. And don't do this before. If you go and type in Primer Timeline and then print up what comes up right on the screen and then watch it again.
Okay.
And then the second one, number two, it varies. Part of me wants to say Time Bandits.
I've heard of that, but I haven't seen it.
Go and watch Time Bandits, man. Terry Gilliam. Okay. Terry Gilliam. It's basically the Monty Python film that Monty Python never made. It's flipping brilliant.
Okay.
There you go. There's your three.
I'll watch that. That is very good. I'll get on that. I might give you a phone next week about Primer.
Let me know how they go, Sarah, please. I'd be keen to hear your thoughts.
I will do. Thank you.
Thank you. Tutty bye. That's all right. Johnny, it's groovy, man. Time Bandits gets overlooked in the time. John and Sam, stay there. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. If you want to give us a call, we call you back. Time Bandits gets overlooked in the time travel genre because it's perceived as a kid's film. I remember watching it at school, actually, when I was about 10. But it is stupendous. It is stupendous. Good film, that. In fact, I might have to have a little... Oh, The Boys. Oh, The Boys. Let me see if I can get Time Bandits for a penny on Amazon. And then me and The Boys can have some of that. Let's go to Diana. Yes, Diana?
Hi there, Ian. You sound in good form.
Do you think so? It doesn't... Okay, thank you. It doesn't sound like that in my head tonight. It sounds a little bit ropey tonight, but never mind.
Oh, no probs. Well, it's just about a call that I had today, and for one split second, I went a little bit panic-stricken. Uh-oh. So it's just a tip-off to anyone who's listening who gets a call like it.
Oh, what's happened?
Okay, well, it's happened once or twice before.
Yeah.
And the number has always been untraceable. You can ring 1471.
Yeah.
And nothing. Now, today it went, and there's an actual voice, an automated voice.
Oh, yeah.
And it said that it was the Revenue and Customs, HMRC.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And there was a lawsuit pending against me.
Uh-oh! It's dirty Diana! What have you been up to, Diana?
Well, it's all in the sock and under the bed, but there
good
we go.
Good for you. Well done.
Anywho, it was the shock of it, really, because I knew everything was hunky-dory.
Yeah.
Put the phone down, and I got through. I rang 118-118.
Yeah.
Asked the Revenue and Customs, the main branch.
Yeah.
Got the number, which I can give out if you anybody
don't
else...
Don't worry about that. Go on, just tell us what happened.
Well, this is what happened. So, I got the Revenue and Customs number.
Yeah.
And you have to go through a whole load of a rigmarole. Anyone listening, but stick with it. Options and blah, blah. But I finally got through to a very nice Scottish lady, told her, and she said it was a scam.
WTF!
To ignore it.
Oh, blimey.
And they do ask you questions at the proper office, at the one, and it's automated again. But anyone who isn't a little bit savvy or just taken off guard, you can possibly give all your details because I was told to press option one to put through.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
To my particular case handler.
Oy.
Now I would have given.
Yeah.
Here
they it comes.
National insurance number.
Yep.
Your address, your date of birth, everything. And anybody who's just taken off guard and panicky would really get sucked in there.
Here's the thing, because I always think, well, nobody would fall for these scams
exactly.
anymore.
And
but,
no one
but,
would possibly ring you up out of the blue,
yeah.
random. It would come through a letter. It would be a letter, brown envelope, clear window.
But people must fall for these scams because people keep doing these scams.
I know, because they would be so plausible. But I think I ended up in Aberdeen or Glasgow or somewhere.
Yeah.
But just for a little bit of perseverance, and your phone bill might be a little bit, you know, but it's well worth it, Ian.
Well...
So you don't get caught out.
Diana, thank you very much for passing that information.
I know, it's a bit grim.
The problem is the majority of the people that listen to this show are idiots.
Well,
and I don't think they're going to take on... They'll be going, yeah, but that's never going to happen to me. And then they'll fall for it. And do you know what? More fool them. It'll serve them right, won't it?
Well, I know. But, I mean, anybody who, you know, like lonely and whatever and just glad to get a phone call would fall for it.
Well.
So... Listen carefully, don't hand any info about yourself over the phone. If anything people want to know, they will write to you.
Can I ask you a question, Diana?
Oh, go on then.
No, don't worry.
Go on.
You sound...
Yeah?
...like a very sensible...
Really?
...young lady.
Yes,
what the
go
hell
on
are
then.
You, what the hell are you doing listening to this rubbish?
Well, I was just passing through.
What does that mean?
I'd let the cat in.
Yes?
And I was passing through upstairs in the cupper.
Yeah.
And I thought, dash it, I'll phone in.
Oh, well, may God bless you for that. One final question. How do I know
yeah.
that you're not a scam?
Well,
This is it. You could be a scammer.
I'll only need your bank details.
Thank you very much indeed. Dino, it's very kind of you to call. Thank you very much indeed. We'll take anyone passing through or otherwise. 0844 499 1000.
Unmissable late night radio with the original king of unconventional conversation.
Make contact with Ian Lee.
Late night Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Evening, Sam. What you got for us?
Hello. I've had a really bad day today, and I just want to talk about it, basically.
Well, how bad was it?
Well, I don't know. Just, like, little things kind of made me just go, and just get really, like, you know, annoyed, basically.
Yes.
I was at work today, and a customer was in the queue, and I was serving a lovely lady, and she had, like loads of stuff. And I can sense him getting a little bit agitated. So I was like, okay, I know what's going to happen here. And he's like huffing and that sort of stuff, and then like tutting and stuff. And her daughter bought some Tic Tacs. Other mints are available.
Tic Tacs.
And
do they still? Can you still get Tic Tacs? Blimey.
Yeah, of course. All different flavors, definitely.
Houses.
And the guy.
I never liked the orange Tic Tacs. Thought that was a step too far. No, the plain. I don't want to sound all Farage, but the white ones are the best. The white ones are the best by a long, long way. The orange ones, nah.
All right, don't get shafted, mate. All right?
No. What? Who's what?
Don't mind joking. Anyway, yeah.
Yes.
The guy behind her said underneath her breath, "Hurry up!" And I was like,
uh-oh.
"You can't like." It was like a 9-year-old girl. You can't say hi up to a 9-year-old girl.
Well,
and he came to me, and he was playing a scratch card, like, which is fair enough, and he did it in store. But he told me to come on, like, hurry up. I was like, dude, like, you know, I'm going as fast as I can.
You should have gone faster.
Anyway, sorry?
You should have gone faster.
All right, sorry. God, and also, right, okay, and then other things happened, and, oh, yeah, I nearly got run over today in store as well.
Yeah.
Because, you know, mobility scooters, there was a lady who reversed into the newspaper, like, sort of shelf thing, and the whole thing, like, moved, and I nearly
Sam,
died.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, right? I've just bought Time Bandits on eBay.
Mm-hmm.
I am looking at something, right, that on eBay that I don't understand, right?
Okay.
So I bought Time Bandits. And it's the 2013 reissue because it's got loads of extras, right?
Ooh.
And it said underneath things you might like. So I've clicked on one of them. Walt Disney, Pixar, uh-huh. DreamWorks, children's DVD bundle, right?
Right.
And there are one. Hang on a minute. Let me just count. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. There's 50 DVDs.
Jeez. How much talking though? It's expensive.
Well, it says £3.
Right.
Plus free delivery. That can't be right.
No, that's. I mean,
that can't be.
So they like second hand.
No, mate. That cannot be right.
That sounds dodgy.
That cannot be right. £3 for 50. No.
I bought.
It's almost worth having a pump, but then you. No. Then there's another one. Here we go. There's about 60 horror films.
Right.
Horror DVD bundle. £1 plus £1.50 postage. No.
Nah, that sounds dodgy.
That sounds dodgy, but they've got films like Bride of Chucky, Saw. Have you seen Saw?
I don't really watch horror films, although my favourite horror film is Shallow Grave, just because it's so good.
Shallow Grave's not a horror film? What are you talking about, man?
Shallow Grave is a horror film.
Which one's Shallow Grave? The one with you and McGregor, where they've got that nice flat in Scotland?
Yeah.
No, that's not a horror.
I'm easily scared then.
You're a lightweight. They've got, no, Saw is I Want to Play a Game. Saw is a masterpiece, right? With a wonderful, wonderful twist. I never see twists coming in films. I never see it. Never see it. And you watch the film and then the twist goes, you go, oh no, I should have seen that coming. And I never get twists.
My favourite film of all time, speaking of films, is 500 Days of Summer. It's essentially like a chick flick, but I love it. I love
Adam Sandler, isn't it?
No, it's Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Zoe Deschanel.
I thought Adam Sandler was in it. That's 50 Days of Summer. 50 First Dates. 50 First Dates.
But no, I love flashbacks and like it's like time travel, but obviously not because it's like in their personal storyline and stuff.
Yeah,
but it's so good. Anyway, the other thing I want to talk about, and this is a bit weird.
Yeah,
I bought a Euromillions ticket today. Right,
you bought what?
A Euromillions ticket.
Oh goodness, great! You bought the idiot's tax.
Yeah, sorry. And I got two numbers right, but I got two lucky stars. You'd think. Surely you think that that's like £3,
yeah,
or something, but nothing.
Well, hang on. For how many numbers did you get?
Right, okay, I got two numbers. But
you won't get anything for two numbers.
No. But it's like it's the lucky stars. Like there's two of them. It's like the bonus numbers.
Well, hang on a minute. What is flipping it? I do. What I hate right when I'm in the petrol station, and the fella in front goes, "I'll have." One lucky dip.
Yeah.
I'll have one biff baff boff. And I tell you what, I'm going to get two. No, I'm going to get three popcorn wheelies. And then the person, and they've all these different ways of taking money out of idiots' pockets, right? So they've all got these stupid names like Big Dong. No, that's not a good thing. But like, there'll be one of the names. It is like,
There's Lucky Dip. There's Lotto.
But there's Boulder Dash, Stroke My Beard, Help Us Three, Finger Ring, All You Don't Want to Do That, and they're all basically what they might as well just say is someone might go to the counter and go, right, I want to just give you two. No, hang on. Five. I'm just going to give you a tenner and walk out. Is that all right? I'm just going to give you a tenner and I'm going to go. No, I don't want anything in return. Just going to give you a tenner. I tell you what, let's make it 20. Go on. I'm going to give you £20 and I'm going to walk out. Thanks. Bye. That's what you might as well do. Mate. Useless bits of paper that you are buying.
But you might win one day.
Sam, you will never win ever. If I'm being a bit harsh, if you're calling in and I'm being a bit harsh on my cutoffs, it's because I can't fade you down. Normally, can I get a little bit of radio insight? Normally, I would, when the phone call was coming to an end, I will decide that. Generally, the fader will come down. You will hear the conclusion of the phone call and then I would cut you off. I have not got the power to do that. So to make sure that the phone call ends when I decide to end it, I'm cutting everyone off. These things happen. You think this is tough? Imagine what it was like in the war. Yeah? 0844 499 1000. Ollie, Tris, John, coming to you next.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. So here's the thing that annoyed me today. I had a cab drive me from one place of work, from my home to one place of work, then back home. It took 2 hours to get back. And the annoying thing was, it was about 15 minutes away from here, but I finished at 2. So I wasn't going to hang around and then, you know, turn up here. So I went, I thought it'll take me an hour to get home. I'll go home and have a sleep. And it took 2 hours to get home because we were stuck in really bad traffic. Now, get this, John, right?
Yeah.
The minicab driver, it was a firm, right? The driver said, he said something, and the first time he said it, I thought, oh, I misheard that. He wouldn't have said that. But he kept saying it, right? We were stuck in bad traffic, and at points, we were not moving. He said, oh, bloody hell. It's horrible when it's dreadlocked, isn't it? He said dreadlocked instead of gridlocked. And I thought, first time he said it, I thought, no. And he said it 5 or 6 times. Oh, God, I hate it when we're dreadlocked. And then he couldn't find... I got in the car and I really wanted to listen to Radio 4. He couldn't find Radio 4, right? He didn't have a DAB. Otherwise, of course, I would have asked for Talk Radio. Or at least on the way back, I would have, because it would have been John Holmes. On the way in, it was about half ten. So, but he didn't have, he couldn't find Radio 4. So he listened to a bit of LBC, but it was, Sheila Fogarty, it was a little bit boring, right? She's good, she's nice, but it's a little bit boring. And so then we ended up, and I've not listened to this for years, we ended up listening to the Steve Wright, The Big Show.
Steve Wright in the afternoon.
Steve Wright in the afternoon.
It's changed, isn't it?
No! No! I remember listening to that in 1988, right? They were doing the same things. They were doing factoids. Factoids!
No, he used to do true stories.
Okay, it's right.
Totally different. Totally he was different.
But we listened for about an hour, right?
Yeah, it's a bit odd.
He did factoids, right? Then he did... Then he played...
Calm down.
Because he's on, he'll be on like three times what I'm earning, and a lot better job security, right?
What, £100?
Yeah. He then played. They spent half an hour playing the best bits of the interviews that he'd done that week. Half an hour playing the best bits of the interviews he'd done that week, and then they spent 20 minutes. Talking about this thing called Radio 2 Mail or something, right? And basically, you get an email every week with the highlights from the week of Radio 2. But he spent 20 minutes after he'd spent 30 minutes playing the highlights of the Steve Wright Show that week, he then spent 20 minutes playing the highlights of Radio 2 that week. And one of the highlights was Simon Mayo waiting to interview a cricketer, but the cricketer hadn't turned up.
And that was the highlights.
That was one of the highlights. And then he said, right, coming up, it's Nasty Nick from EastEnders, who's written an autobiography called, and it's, see if you can work out, so Nasty Nick's written an autobiography, right? It's called something, it's a pun, right? It's a clever pun. It doesn't work. It's
John I hate that when that happens.
John Altman, I think his name is, right? He's called his autobiography, he played Nick Cotton in EastEnders, right? It doesn't work. He's called it In the Nick.
That doesn't work.
Well, it doesn't work, because Nick is the character. So, obviously, In the Nick means in prison, and Nasty Nick went to prison, but he also means he was in the character of Nick. Well, In the Nick isn't a... you wouldn't say, oh, I was in the Henry V. I was in the Henry V. I was in the James Bond.
The James Bond, that's a good book.
Craig, what's his name? Daniel Craig has never said, well, of course, I was in the James Bond. It doesn't work.
Altman. I mean, you can say I was in the Monkees.
Yeah, you could say that, but then that's a pun. That's not a pun.
That's not a pun. Call me old-fashioned, that is not a pun.
And also, here's the thing, right?
So you didn't enjoy it?
Didn't John Altman, I'm sure, and I can't be bothered to Google this, didn't he play John Lennon in a film once? I am sure. No, not John Lennon. I think he played Paul McCartney up against one of the McGann's Lennons.
Not Backbeat or something.
No, not Backbeat. It was like an early 80s thing. One of the McGann's was Lennon. And they showed... I remember seeing it. To show him coming off of heroin and going, cold turkey! It had him and Yoko lying in a field, going like sweating and going, oh, 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 and the camera just gently swept over them and then they were off heroin. And I think, because that's how it happens, I think Nasty Nick played Paul McCartney in that. I'm sure he did. Someone, 0844-499-1000, I'm sure he did. Anyway, John...
So you didn't like the Steve Wright Show by the sound of it?
Oh, it's brilliant. I loved it. And then he said, coming up next, it's the oldies. Well, he'd been playing oldies. The song he just came off the back of was Groovy Kind of Love, the original, right? So then they played the oldies, right? And the first oldie was a song that I
that was new?
No, it was old, right? I don't know what it was, but I've heard it before. But I always thought I'd only ever heard the introduction to it, and I'd never got to the vocals. I kept thinking, oh, the vocals will kick in. 3.5 minutes later, that song ended, and he went to, it was ABBA. And one of us is crying. But the song before, right, and it's an instrumental. I never realised this was an instrumental. I thought I'd only ever just heard the beginning or the end of it. It goes... ba ba da da ba 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 da ba 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 da ba 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 da ba ba da ba 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 da ba ba ba.
He used to use that as a jingle, I think.
Yeah, I always that's it. I always thought it just because you can loop things, and I thought it had just been looped as like a jingle or a bed. But that's a song, apparently. Ba ba da ba 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 da ba 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 da ba.
And then someone starts singing.
No, there's no singing. It's just that. For 3.5 minutes. Why would you play that on the radio and not talk about the sport over it? I mean, that's all that's for. Ba ba da ba 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 ba da ba 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 da ba 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 da ba. 3.5 minutes, and then it went to ABBA. And I've decided I don't like ABBA. I think ABBA are overrated. Right? They've done a few good songs, but I think they're overrated. And then. Then he caught me off guard, because then he played a good song. Then he played a really good song.
What was that?
Neil Young. Look at Mother Nature on the run in the 1970s. There was a time there... I don't know what the song's called.
Doesn't sound that good.
No, it is good, but I can't remember what it's called.
Not old man. No, it's not old man, is it?
Old man, take a look at my legs. No, it is...
They all sound like that, don't they?
Yeah.
They all sound like that after a while.
Yeah, they do.
He's no good at interviewing, though, is he? He's no good at interviewing.
No, he's not. Can I just say, sorry, I've been corrected. Nasty Nick did not play John Lennon or Paul McCartney in a film about the Beatles. He played George Harrison, of course. That's what he did. Thank you to Lizzie and Lisa and all of you who are... there we go. I'm going to retweet that one there. Birth of the Beatles with Nasty Nick as George Harrison. Oh, dearie me.
John, is it Ringo Starr's birthday today?
Why the hell not? Every day in July is Ringo Starr's birthday.
That's nice for him, isn't it?
Peace and love, peace and love.
You interviewed him once, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I was lucky enough to touch a beetle.
And you tried to get his autograph or something, I seem to remember.
He refused, yeah, he refused. Good for him. Good for
him. Well done, Ringo.
Yeah, no, he was good. He stuck to his word. And he wouldn't sign it. And I knew he wouldn't sign it. And I wish he had signed it, but I knew he wouldn't sign it. And do you know what? It doesn't matter. Can I just play you something quickly, John?
Well, not the diddle diddle tune.
Well, there we go.
Yes, mate. Hello, boy.
Well, we'll have the latest results from Euro 2016 as we find out which teams are going to go through to the final. Also, we'll have a meeting to Roy Hodgson and find out exactly what went wrong with the football. And this is it. This goes on for 4 minutes. 4 minutes of this. How is this? This is like, you know, if you're in the studio, right, with your mates, right, and you're having a knock around on a Saturday afternoon, as I sometimes do, and you suddenly came up with this, you go, yeah, this is a good groove, and you'd enjoy playing it for a little bit, right, and you get into it, and then you go, hey, Steve, just make up some words, and then someone would make up some words, and then you go, that was a good jam, right, should we play a proper song now? This is not a...
Hello, boy. Shit, the manager here. Hello?
This isn't Steve Wright on the phone, is it? Because that's an excellent impression.
It's not, sadly, no.
Did we get to the point of your call, John?
I don't think we did.
Would you like to get to the point?
Well, yeah, I just quickly, you said on Twitter yesterday something about, has anyone ever heard of Laura Nero? And I thought, well, no one's ever spoken about Laura Nero on UK radio as far as I'm concerned. So I know, you know, I like her stuff, so maybe you should mention her. So there you go, Laura Nero.
Only because I was interviewing, we'll play it out one day next week, Tuesday or Wednesday, I spoke to the lead singer from this group called The Young Rascals, and I was looking, kind of, I don't know a lot about them. And I looked him up, Felix Cavalierier, or I'm not sure how you pronounce his name, and it said, and he produced Laura Nero. And I thought, I thought she was modern. I thought she was like, kind of like rumour or something. No. So then I looked, and I read her... I read her bio, and I thought,
heard of her? No one's ever heard of her.
No. And so I listened to 20 seconds of one song on YouTube, and I thought, she sounds a lot like early Carol King. So I've cheated, I bought like a best of, a double CD best of, to see if I like it. But I think I might have found my new thing, my new jam.
She's like a bonkers version of Carol King, basically.
Beautiful, beautiful.
And she had a hit, the only song you might know of hers was called Wedding Bell Blues. Have you heard of that?
No, I haven't. This is wonderful. I've got a whole new thing to discover. I do hope I like her. Because it'll be a whole new world to dive into.
And she influenced people like Todd Rundgren and Kate Bush.
I've interviewed Rundgren. There's a strange gentleman.
Ooh, how did that go?
It went all right, actually. It went all right. Yeah, he was very nice, actually. He was very nice. I should dig it out and put it up on YouTube or something. In fact, I might do that this weekend. I've got this whole hard drive that my friend Eloise, where she collected all of the interviews I did at Absolute, and she sent it to me, and I should put some of those up on YouTube. I might do that this weekend if I get a bit of time.
But she, Todd Rundgren mentions her in one of his early songs. And, she was David Geffen's first signing.
Aye.
And, very good. I went to see her 94 at the Union Chapel, and it was a really incredible gig, just her on a piano. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
I think you'll like it, man.
I'm gonna look forward to it. And I've not replied to your message on Twitter, but I will do.
That's okay.
We'll sort it out. And I know it's not me being rude. We'll sort it out and we'll do it, all right?
Jolly good show.
Cheers, my dears. Ta-ta.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. You can do Jalford? Wowzers. And Ollie, stay there. Ollie, you've been waiting for ages. I promise you'll be the first caller when we come back from the news. How's about them apples? The last hour of the show, no straight to air. We kind of knocked that on the head, certainly for the month of July, and I'm kind of digging it. And I'm digging it a lot, actually, and I think we've made the right call. You can call in about anything. What have we talked about? Obscure music, of course. I mean, that goes without saying. Of course that's come up. The internet. It's weird, isn't it? I've been sat here for 2 hours. And the last hour has been quite frenetic and frantic. Do you remember the band Fat and Frantic? Do you remember them? Do you remember Fat and Frantic? They were like a comedy band, weren't they? Weren't they like a bit like Trevor and Simon? I knew a girl that was really into them. Anyway, that's kind of how this show works. Little lights go off and we try and join the lights up until we have enough fairy lights to decorate the tree.
Talk Radio.
My friend Fred Velez is going to come on the show on Monday and we are going to geek out about the Monkees and talk about the new Blu-ray box set, and we're just going to gently rub ourselves while we do. Okay?
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Bloody internet. Hang on a minute. I'm going to pause this because I do want to play this song. This is the Neil Young song that Steve Wright played. But the internet is being a little, precious this evening, you know? You know it's being a little bit precious. I think we might just get away with it now.
Well, I dreamed I saw the knights in armor coming and saying something about a queen. There were peasants singing and drummers drumming, and the archer split the tree. There was a fanfare blowing to the sun that was floating on the breeze. Look at Mother Nature on the run in the 1970s. Look at Mother Nature on the run in the 1970s. I was lying in a burned out basement with the full moon in my eyes. I was hoping for replacement when the sun burst through the sky. There was a band playing in my head, and I felt like getting high. I was thinking about what a friend had said. I was hoping it was a lie. Thinking about what a friend had said, I was hoping it was a lie.
That's a song, isn't it? That's a flipping song.
What a song. It almost made me cry.
Yeah, that's a song. That's a song. Anyway, what you got for us, Ollie?
I just wanted to call about... I'm a little bit annoyed that you put me through on the phone, because everyone knows that the phone never sounds very good, and it would be much better if I was in the studio. I could have phoned any time.
Yeah, you're right. Do you know what, Ollie? You're right. I should have invited... Everybody who wants to contribute to the show, I should, of course, invite them down to the studio. Your phones never sound as good as... You're right, you're right. Thank you for that. I appreciate that.
Some people are not can never be pleased, can they?
It's weird, right? It's a phone-in show, and it's Limmy, and I'm a big fan, and Limmy lives in Scotland, and we're based in London, and... You know, and it's all right. You know, what other show are you going to get someone like Limmy talking for half an hour about, you know, and talking about his comedy and how he wanted to kill himself?
I actually disagree with that. I think that he should have got a train down.
Yeah.
Just for an interview on the radio.
You know what, actually? You're right. What a lazy git.
I think it's lazy of both you and him.
Yeah, I'm going to go and... get an Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind done on my brain so I can forget all of the sketches of his that have brought me so much pleasure throughout the years. That's what I'm going to do.
Ian?
Yes?
You've been... This is going to sound weird to start with, but you've been in my brain for the last month and a bit.
No, I know I have. It's not weird. It's not weird. I know I have. I can see. I can feel it. I can feel what it's like in there, and it feels good.
I have listened to, since the Adam Buxton podcast, and bearing in mind I used to watch Rise and loved it, I've listened to all of the available Absolute.
Wow.
If I'm allowed to say that.
Yeah, you're allowed to say that, of course. No, it's part of my proud podcast. Heritage. Yes, yes, yes.
And I just paid the subscription fee for the LBC.
Hey, there's somewhere on the internet you can find all that stuff for free.
Oh,
if you ask in the right quarters. Don't matter. It's not the LBC thing isn't that expensive. So, well done. Can I recommend something of my past work to you?
Go on.
Down the Rabbit Hole. Have you heard those?
No, I haven't.
Me and Kath, who's producing this show, the BBC, right? And it's BBC Local Radio, but forget that. We tricked them into giving us a Saturday show. And they said, well, what would it be? And we said, it will be anything we want it to be. I will be in charge of the music and we will talk about nothing. And they went, okay, fair play. We had a boss that let us do it. And then the big bosses found out we were doing it and like, we got the sack and all kinds of stuff. But it's on. Are you on iTunes or are you an anti-iTuner?
No, I'm not an anti-iTuner.
Good. Go on iTunes. Ian Lee, Down the Rabbit Hole. There's only six of them. Ignore the first one because it didn't work very well.
Right.
But from the two through to six, the best show that I've ever done. It won't be for much longer because this will eventually become the best show I've ever done. But those five episodes are the best show I've ever done. And it's me and Kath, and it's a delightful mess.
It's typed in.
Good.
And the other thing I watched yesterday while I was bored at work was you with fake Victoria and David Beckham.
Oh, yeah, that was fun, that. I enjoyed that.
It was brilliant.
There's some good bits and pieces in that. We took Victoria Beckham and David Beckham, like obviously lookalikes, to Los Angeles, and we had to try and blag stuff. And we blagged a lot of stuff. And we were getting mobbed and paparazzi and we got threatened with the police when we went into the Ivy. And it was a lot of fun, that, actually. I couldn't do it now. I haven't got the balls to do that now. But
I wasn't sure about David. I didn't think that he looked that much like Beckham.
Victoria,
I thought was good.
Is Tom Cruise in it?
Yeah.
Because then we had a Tom Cruise lookalike. He was massive. He was taller than me. And he was an English fella. And he really, all he had that was Tom Cruise-ish was the teeth. But he'd moved to LA to become a Tom Cruise lookalike. It was the weirdest. The lookalike.
Famously,
go on.
A famously small man.
Yeah. And he was taller than me. It's a weird. The David Beckham, I don't know if Posh Spices, they were going out with each other for a while, those two. And the David Beckham is really successful. He runs, his name's Andy. Can't remember, it's Andy something. And he runs a lookalike agency now that has, like, you know, David Brent lookalike and all those.
Was that TV programme?
Yeah, it was him, yeah.
It was awful, that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but it was awful, but it was brilliant at the same time.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean, yeah. Check out the Down the Rabbit Hole. You might like it, you might not. But, you know, if you like this nonsense, then there's a strong chance that you... don't go too far back into the LBC stuff, because the early stuff...
Well, I started from the start of the available stuff, and I've been working. Although, I did skip to the first Verinder call.
Wowzers. Yeah. As Verinder... I don't really remember it very well, because I don't remember what we did in the first hour of tonight, but have you got to the bit where Verinder turns up at the station for the first time?
I do, where he's on a date with Eloise.
Oh, no, at LBC...
Oh, no, that's absolutely...
LBC, he turns up and he goes, oh, you never guess who I am. Where are you, mate? I'm in reception. No, you're not. Yes, I am. And there's a lady here called Karen. And I've got flipping hippie. He's in reception. And, it was... they were fun days. Fun days. I'm very proud of those shows. They were a lot of fun.
Yeah, they were...
Nice people still like them.
They were great. I'm enjoying it. So, you know, just to let you know that you have basically been in my head for the last month.
Thank you, Ollie.
I think it's going to be making me mental.
Don't get a tattoo. Have you heard the woman on Absolute who's going to get my name tattooed on her arse?
Oh, no. And did she... I'm guessing she didn't.
I forbade her. I forbade her from doing it. And she was going to do it because she already... She had... not Tim Shaw's name. There was another guy who got in trouble for promoting e-cigarettes on air.
They're great, though. E-cigarettes are great.
Oh, jeez. Stop winding me up. She did send me a picture. She got someone else's name tattooed on one cheek. And I got really angry with her. And I forbade her to do it from doing it. Because I just thought... nut job. Ollie, well, listen, it's nice. I'm going to do the cold cutting off now because I haven't got a fader, but there you go. Thank you. You're a nice gentleman. Go and read some books and go and meet people as well. And, you know, thank you very much in that. Loads of people saying they've watched The Imposter. You've got until Monday night, okay? Monday at 10, we will be talking The Imposter. The first hour of the show will be discussing The Imposter. It's such a good documentary. You have to watch an obnoxious character to get through the film, and some of you have found that too hard. I do think stick with it, because the twists, there's a good couple of twists in there. And so Monday night at 10 o'clock on Talk Radio, www.talkradio.co.uk, there's a way you can listen. We will talk to Charlie Parker, who is the private investigator in the film. And I'm sure he'd be happy to take your calls. He's a very, very nice gentleman. He's very happy to talk. So if you wanted to ask him any questions about his methodology, you've seen it, haven't you, Kath? Have you not seen it yet? He identifies people by their ears. And it works. It's brilliant. And he's got some theories about the guy that is the imposter, and also about the family and... he'll be really interested. I'm really looking forward to talking to him. So if you've got any questions for him, I'm sure it'll be cool to take them. 0844 499 1000. Steve, Jalford, David, coming to you after this.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
0844 499 1000. Jalford's on the line. Yes, Jalford.
Hip, 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 Ian.
Hip, hip, hip. What's all this Jalford nonsense?
It's Jonathan. It's just the name Jonathan has been somewhat soiled. So I've decided to go to my Twitter name instead.
Who has soiled Jonathan?
The other Jonathan.
What other Jonathan?
The racist Jonathan, I guess.
Oh! Well, so as a sign, the thing is, right, by you adopting the name Jalford,
yep,
you're letting the racists win. You're letting the racists have their way and get what they want. We need to reclaim our names, Jonathans. We need to reclaim the Jonathans and be proud to be Jonathans, and not let it be that it can only be used by racists. For goodness sakes, this country was built on the backs of Jonathans. Stand tall, shout loud, I am Jonathan and I am not a racist.
It's hard to stand tall with the country on my back.
Also, you're a wee fella, I've met you, so, okay, we'll let that one go. Go on, what you got for us?
Well, I was figuring out today that I've never actually had an argument on the phone before. Whenever there's any kind of conflict or anything like that, I just try and diffuse it or just try and run away from it. So I wanted to know if you wanted to have an argument about ghosts, basically. Nothing vicious, nothing abusive, just a bit tense.
Here's the thing. I don't know if I can have an argument about ghosts because I don't know what I think about ghosts anymore.
Yeah, and this is why I kind of felt like... Because normally, in a discussion about this, I'd respect your opinion, and I do respect that you're undecided and you found out something about it. But I kind of want to just have an argument, just for the sake of it, because I've never had one on the phone before.
Why do you feel it's so important for you to have an argument? What's missing from your life that you
really,
feel that... Hang on a minute, let me finish. What's missing from your life that you feel that you would benefit from having an argument on the telephone?
I just want to know what it feels like, really, because every time I've got off the phone, I've just been like, oh, well, that's over now. Whereas this would be a deliberate attempt to make things as tense as possible.
Well, it's quite... I mean...
But I'm not sure...
Hang on a minute. It's a little bit needy, isn't it? Why should I hand over important broadcasting time to argue with you about some nonsense?
Well, you raise a good point, and this show is about important issues.
Well, now you're taking the piss.
What stage are you understand about ghosts?
Well, no, hang on a second. You've just been really rude about the show.
Oh, yeah, I have.
Well, no, but now you're doing a thing, and I don't want you to do a thing. You've just genuinely you've been rude about the show, and I wondered why you felt that that was appropriate.
I felt I had to be rude about the show in this case because I thought I was just pointing out a point that's obvious to everyone else. Have you not noticed?
No, I'm not doing a thing now. I'll tell you when I'm doing the thing. I'm not doing the thing yet.
Oh.
You just said, oh, the show's it is about serious things. And there was a tone in there that you've just come on to ask me to help you, you know, like Jim will fix it, but without all of that. You've just asked me to come on, oh, can you fix it for me to have an argument? All right, we'll get to that bit in a minute. But then you've just started taking the piss out of the show. And so I don't know why I should indulge you.
Oh, Jack, well then, I'm definitely not taking the piss out of the show. It's just, it's always been a very open show.
No, but then why did you then say, well, it's always a very serious issues?
Because it's not always serious issues.
Well, then why would you say it is very serious issues?
I think because I was being sarcastic.
Right, so, but this is what I don't understand, Jonathan. We're not going to dick around with his last name nonsense. This is what I don't understand. You phoned up basically because you want to, you know, have a little bit of role play, and we will get to that. But then you're being sarcastic, and I don't see why I should then go on and indulge you.
OK, I'm sorry if I was being rude or sarcastic. I was only doing it in fun.
But it was mean.
I'm sorry, Ian.
And you're right, you do defuse an argument when it comes up, don't you?
Oh.
You do, you really do. So I can't help you with this one. That was your perfect opportunity there. Was that uncomfortable enough for you?
I feel really uncomfortable, like I've done something really,
yeah,
really
beautiful.
Wrong.
Well, it was uncomfortable. I enjoyed that. But you do diffuse them, don't you? Isn't that funny?
I just felt like I had to fix it, yeah.
Yeah, I know. Even when you phoned up requesting Barney, and it, what you wanted to know... OK, so it felt uncomfortable. Give me more detail.
Well, I'm now shaking a little bit.
Yeah.
And in my head, I was feeling like, oh, this has gone so wrong.
Yeah.
I really shouldn't have... I bet he really hates me now.
Yeah.
And the amount of relief now that I know it was actually...
Right, so that's what you wanted to... You wanted to feel the uncomfortability-ableness, didn't you?
Yeah, and I think you've pretty much done that.
Did you... and well done you for wanting to feel and experience new things. Did you like it? Did you like that feeling?
I don't think I did, because I didn't know it was happening.
Right, but if we'd have had an argument about ghosts, you would have known what was happening, so you wouldn't have felt that, because it wouldn't have been real.
That's right, it wouldn't have felt the same. But it would have felt more tense, whereas in this
no.
way, it just felt terrifying.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't have felt more tense, it would have felt less tense, because you would have known that we were role-playing, we were having a little bit of, you know, spicing up our lives in the bedroom type thing.
Yeah, I see what you mean. But unless we actually do it, I don't know. But maybe that's a call for another day.
Yeah, I think so. I enjoyed that. Thank you, Jalford.
Thanks, Ian.
Tutty bye. There we go. Kath looks relieved. Look. Do you want to come in for the last half hour, Kath? David, Steve, stay there. Coming to you. Steve's in Manchester. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. Kath's bringing her laptop in so she can update her Facebook status. Can you still nudge people on Facebook? We mentioned this. Did we mention this here or did I mention it somewhere else? I do so many things these days. I don't know. You look relieved when that ended.
I felt bad for him.
Why? He asked for it. He literally asked for it.
I thought you were doing a thing. And then I thought, oh, God, he's not doing a thing. What's going on here? Yeah, no,
but he literally asked me to do it.
It's horrible. You know I like being nice people.
Yeah, well, I'm a nice guy, but he asked... He asked for it. He got it. But he didn't like it.
And then he loved it. He loved it when it stopped.
But if we'd have had...
You groomed him.
Oh, come on, mate. You can't say that to someone who's worked at the BBC without charges being pressed. If we'd have done it as he'd asked...
Yeah, he would have known he was playing.
It wouldn't have worked. It wouldn't have been real.
He wouldn't have felt the rush.
Yeah, he wouldn't... Exactly.
Yeah, but you got me as well, by proxy. Good. I was in crossfire.
Good actor, isn't it?
Well, I remember him being so nice on the phone. I was thinking, oh, well, this is all going horribly wrong.
Steve!
Good
Good evening, Ian. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you, Steve. What you got?
My God, you've asked some people today, haven't you?
Well, yeah. Oh, God, you do.
Last caller. Oh, my God. Anyway.
You do not sound like Chris Seavey, Frank Sidebottom.
Oh, you keep saying something you before you've said
I know, this. I know. And honestly, not when he was Frank, but when he was Chris, you do not sound like him. It's incredible.
Oh, I've tried my best not
it's
to
a great.
Like
it's
him.
A great. No, it's a great. It's a great compliment. He was a genius.
Oh, thank you very much. Listen, I'm phoning you up tonight about films, the movies you were talking about earlier on.
Yeah.
Horror films.
Yes.
Yeah. The best horror film. Have you ever seen The Human Centipede?
Oh, flipping it.
Come on.
Oh, my God. What a good one.
Oh, well, that's the one.
Bum to face, bum to face.
Yeah, bum to face, bum to face.
Yeah. And have you ever seen Blue Velvet?
Yeah, now Blue Velvet. Now that's the only David Lynch film.
Brilliant, David Lynch. I can absolutely dig. Fantastic.
It
if
is...
you watch it all the way through, it brings tears to your eyes, doesn't it?
Well,
whose cojones get it?
Well, it's Carl McLaughlin versus
yeah,
Dennis Hopper.
Yeah,
it's a good film. Good film.
Hey, no, we're not talking that way. We're talking
He breathes it. He breathes it. He's got that mask, isn't he?
Oh yeah. That's Dennis Hopper, isn't it?
when he wants to get horny, he has to put on a face mask.
Oh,
yeah,
God.
It's a good film.
Have you seen the film? Now, you were talking about time-traveling films.
Yes, sir.
Right. The best time-traveling film is a film called Time Changer. Now, you haven't seen that one, have you?
Time Changer, sir. Please continue.
Have you ever heard of a movie site called Putlocker?
Yeah, that's where illegal you get movies illegally.
Well, yeah,
so we don't...
We don't. No. But you can actually access the film, and the film is one of the best time-travelling films
time
you will ever see.
Time Changer.
Yeah, Time Changer, yeah?
Time Changer.
T-I-M-E-C-H-A-G-E-R.
Hang on a minute.
Time Changer.
A Bible professor...
Yeah, that's the one.
From
yeah.
1890...
Yes.
...comes forward in time to the present via a time machine...
Yeah.
And cannot believe the things that he sees.
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic.
It gets 5.6 on IMDb.
Ah, no.
I never watch anything less than a 6.7.
No, forget that. Believe me, trust me, honestly, Ian, trust me, watch the film. It is excellent. It really is brilliant. I mean, and then there's another one, Time Rider.
Oh, Time Rider. Hang on a minute. You know who produced Time Rider?
I don't know, no.
Michael Nesmith of the Monkees.
Oh, you're joking.
He wrote it. I think he wrote it.
God.
He produced it, and he pops up in it very briefly. I watched Time Rider when I was 9 years old. It blew my flipping mind. There's a guy, he's on a motorbike race in the desert, right? He goes off course.
And the poor old Indian guy.
Oh, he goes off course, right? And then he goes into this part of the desert that's owned by the military. And they're testing a time machine. They're sending a monkey back in time.
Right.
He drives past it just as they activate. He goes back in time.
So he's, him and a monkey?
Yeah, well, I don't know if there is a monkey, actually. But he goes back in time, right? Cowboy days.
Yeah. He meets the old Indian guy. And he drops dead with shot because of the light.
And the cowboys want his motorbike, right?
Yeah.
They want his metal horse.
I didn't think you'd see that one.
And then he falls in love with a hot Indian girl or a Mexican girl.
Yeah.
And they're making love, right? Yeah. And he says, I've got something to tell you.
You've told me this bit before.
I've got something to tell you. She goes, what's it? Goes, I'm from the future. She goes, all right. Never mind.
Fair enough.
Anyway, there's a big... I'm going to do a spoiler alert, right?
There's a
big gun battle, right? And he's about to die. I think he's hanging off the edge of a cliff. And you think, oh, no, Time Rider's going to
die. Then the helicopter comes.
The military have sent a helicopter back. Helicopter comes up over the mountain. Shoots all the cowboys. He jumps in. He goes back to the future. Beautiful.
You're brilliant, you Ian. I didn't know you watched
Mate, that. That is an absolute classic. When I interviewed Michael Nesmith of the Monkees, he wasn't doing very many interviews.
I didn't know he was in that.
Half of that interview was about Time Rider because it is such a bloody good film. It is a classic film.
But going back to the horror films
yes.
and No, what was that one I said about? But the other one was The Evil Dead.
Yeah, that's a good. Who's that? Bruce.
Bruce. Oh, bloody hell.
Bruce Campbell.
Absolutely fantastic. Have you seen the very last one, Evil Dead 3, when he goes back in time?
Yeah.
Hey, they're the classics, aren't they?
Yeah, they're good. I've interviewed him as well. Have you seen the film he made? Loads of people are suggesting it for Film Ring, but we won't do it. But he did a film called Baba Hotep.
Oh, no, I've not seen it.
It's brilliant, right? He plays old Elvis Presley.
What?
Who's still alive. He swapped with an Elvis impersonator. The Elvis impersonator died. Yeah. And it's old Elvis Presley living in an old people's home, right? And they'll think he's mad, right? Is he mad or is he really Elvis? And there's a black guy there, an old black guy who claims to be John F. Kennedy. And then there are zombies. It is Baba Hotep is flipping brilliant. What, Steve, that's my recommendation to you.
Oh, yeah, that sounds... Hey, I'll look that one up. But before I go...
Yes, boss.
I phoned you a few weeks ago about that music that you played, The Littlest Hobo. You didn't believe me.
Hang on a minute. You're the fella that claimed the little... That was the theme tune to a TV series. What was the show called again?
It's called The Littlest Hobo.
Shut out.
But hang on, oh my God.
I'm not buying this for a second, mate.
No, you said this to me last time.
There is no such programme called The Littlest Hobo. I've been playing that song for years.
Yeah. The dog, I'm trying to think of the name of the dog. It was an Alsatian dog, a bit like Lassie, yeah? And he used to run around, blatant, he was a lost dog.
Mate,
and
you're having this on.
He got familiar with different people. They took him in, and he was a drifter. Basically, it was a drifting dog.
Yeah, I am not.
Honestly,
I'm going to Steve.
Honestly,
I don't like prank calls.
Cut him off.
I do not like prank calls. 0844 499 1000. Jim and David coming to you after this.
Late night conversation, wealth, losing sleep over.
Ian Lee.
On air and off the leash.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
0844 499 1000. Yet Nesmith, I think he wrote Time Bandits. He produced it. Time Rider.
Yeah.
And he has a cameo in it. And yes, someone's asking if he produced Repo Man. Yeah, he did. He also produced... Did he produce or did he direct the video for What a Feeling to Be Bombing on a Ceiling?
Oh, I don't know that one.
I think he did that. Anyway, David, I've got so many calls. Getting rid of straight to air guys, totally the right thing. Yes, David.
Hello?
David's doing a bit of a Dennis Hopper.
Right.
Hello?
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 Hello? Well, I'm doing Dennis Hopper.
What? Okay. What? What would? Because you did a like that.
Oh, sorry.
What would you like to say?
I think I have a hands-free thing again.
Okay. What would you like?
Well, I got a bit thrown actually. There was a few things I wanted to say, and then you
phlegm
scared the bejesus out of me with that guy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so I nearly hung up.
Don't hang up, man. It's all real good. It's all real friend. It's a friendly show. I've got someone who was rude about me the other day is now messaging me on Facebook saying, I want to give you a second chance. I'm going to, you know, but people saying that you've changed a lot, so I want to listen to you, but I can't watch on Periscope because you've blocked me. So I blocked him on Facebook. And then he sent me another message from a different account saying, stop blocking me. I just want to, you know, and he was really rude to me on Twitter a couple of days ago, and it really upset me. And he's
He wants your attention. He wants
to have a listen to see if I've changed. Well, go and have a listen, mate. I'm not going to make it easy for you. I don't.
Also, why do we need to know that?
Yeah, just do it if you want. You know, if you want to apologise, then that's groovy. But otherwise, just jog on, fella. Anyway, David, what have you got?
I got caught up in some when you were talking about the dreadlock guy, the gridlock thing.
Yeah.
I was earlier on Twitter was going on about trying to work it out, and the guy said, "What has he said now? I've been waiting for so long, I've forgotten, I've gone blank. Spent two beers that I had earlier."
Yeah, hey! It's not waiting so long, it's boozing so long.
What has he said now?
What are you talking about?
He made the expressions, he got the expression wrong, and then he was adamant that it was.
Bibs and Bobs.
That's it. Yeah.
Loads of people give me grief saying it's bits and bobs. Actually, it's bobs.
Bits and bobs.
It's bibs and bobs.
No.
Yes, mate. this. Yes, mate.
So I thought you were just mocking me. I thought it was an in-joke, but I missed.
No, it's, it's Bibs and Bobs.
He's been absolutely sincere.
That's fact.
Oh, God, now I feel stupid.
No, but now... But now
I wanted to know what the in-joke was.
No, there is no in-joke. It's Bibs and Bobs.
I was just wrong.
How much have you had to drink tonight, Dave? I mean, it's Friday night. Fair play. I'm not going to have a go.
Yeah, exactly. It is a Friday. Not that much, actually.
What have you got planned for the weekend, David?
Not a lot this weekend. I've got my girlfriend's mother's birthday, so I'm going around there on a Sunday. Lovely meal.
Get a nice bit of food, though, won't you?
Oh, yeah, lovely food.
Beautiful,
yeah.
Beautiful.
The other thing, I thought, have I missed the film thing about The Imposter as well tonight? Yeah. Is that tonight?
Well, we're watching it. We're talking about it on Monday, but we can, if you want to throw a few words into the ring now, you can.
But don't ruin it, because I've not seen it.
I wanted to know how this guy identified people with his ears, with their ears.
Well, have you seen the film?
I have seen the film, and I can't remember that bit in it.
It's quite a big...
Well, before you brought it up, I saw it, like, ages ago.
Yeah. It's a big thing in it, right? The way he works out, and this isn't a spoiler, the way he works out that the guy pretending to be the missing kid is not him is because they've got completely different ears.
Oh, yes, I remember. Yeah.
And he says he makes...
Probably would have given it away, the fact that the guy's got a full beard.
But what gives it away is he doesn't look anything like him. But he makes a big thing. He does a big speech about how it's like a really old-fashioned technique that Scotland Yard used to use, and it's the ear recognition.
Looking with your eyes.
He said it's like a fingerprint. Every ear is unique.
ears is certainly unique, but
none of my family have got earlobes. I'm the only one with lobes.
I think that's why they haven't got ears.
Well, that may be the case. You're going to be listening on Monday, David, when we've got detective on. It should be a good chat.
Okay,
David, thank you, mate. Ta-ta. I'm looking forward to that. This will be the test as to whether Film Ring will sustain.
Yeah,
is the first one we had a gift with Kung Fu Elliot and the producers and stuff, and there was a real. And I was thinking about this a lot. There was a real, you know, debate about whether the film is real or not.
Mm-hmm.
I am now of the impression that that film is 100% real. After speaking to who I spoke to earlier in the week, I am convinced that
Unless
Kung Fu Elliot is real.
They're carrying the thing on.
Not a
but
chance.
No one's that good, surely.
I've not received my DVDs yet. I've not got the DVDs. I'll have to... send them a little message.
But after watching it, I was so sure.
Yeah.
Like, after the first 10 minutes, I thought, oh, this isn't... And I watched it thinking, obvious, oh, a clever spoof.
Yeah.
But then the things that we found out afterwards, I've swung completely the other way. Like, completely the other way.
I
might have to watch it again.
Yeah. We're going to get some uncut scenes to screen on August the 21st.
Oh, God, the ones they included were gory enough, imagine.
I'll email Jarrett and make sure and chase that up a little bit. But so Monday night will be the test to see whether this is a feature that we will do sort of every 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
If August the 21st goes well and it Monday goes well, then, you know, I can see us doing it on air every 2 weeks and doing it in person every 4 or 5 weeks. I can see. So we'll see, you know, it's all experiments. Yes, Jim.
Ian.
Jim.
Hello. Hip, hip, hip.
Flipping heck, Jim.
With gusto.
Hey, I can't match that. I cannot match that.
Was that too loud?
No, it was beautiful.
It's gorgeous.
Sorry, yeah, that was my teacher voice. That was...
Oh, I've heard about the teacher voice.
What you got for us, Jim?
Ian, I don't want to bring the conversation down, but I just wanted to thank you because you helped me initiate a conversation with somebody who actually was suffering with depression who I wouldn't have spoken to in the same way before without listening to you.
Are you able to... Would you like to tell us any more, or would you not like to tell us any more?
I'd like to, because I really appreciate... having listening to you made a difference to the way I spoke to that person.
I'm very pleased by that, Jim. Thank you for telling me that. That's a very nice thing to share, because I do wonder sometimes if I go on about it too much. But then, you know, I really enjoyed listening to Limmy talking about it. Enjoyed is the right word, actually. I did enjoy listening to him talking about his turmoil because he presented it in a fascinating in a human way. Well, I'm not going to ask too many details about what happened because it's not really any of my business. But, I hope everyone and everything is all right.
Yeah. Oh, so, well, the thing is, Ian, from listening to you allowed me to initiate a conversation that I would never have done before.
Yeah.
Like my girlfriend's mom, she suffers from several different ailments, but one of the most debilitating is her depression. But people don't speak to her about it.
Yeah.
And because of... I mean, genuinely, and because of listening to you, it allowed me to speak to her about...
Beautiful.
About what had affected her. So yeah. Thank you very much, Ian. I appreciate it very much.
Jim, it's an absolute pleasure. Can I ask you one question before you go?
Yes, please, Ian.
Why is everybody who phones me up after 12 drunk? Why? You think you're hiding it? You think you're hiding it?
You've been busted.
I'm trying, Ian. I'm trying.
I remember you sound like me when I was 16 talking to my mum.
No, I thought he did really well.
I used to just leg it up the stairs. I'll be off.
I hope you've had a good night, Jim.
Ian, if you had to time travel to one location.
What?
Where would it be?
Hang on a minute. You've mixed up time with space. If I had to travel to one time,
if you had to time travel,
yep.
To one, yeah, I said location. Didn't
yep.
I? If you had, if you had to time travel to one time,
yeah,
where would it be?
I would travel. Here's the thing, right, and I've thought about this a lot. I'd travel like 1,000 years into the future.
See, I'd go past.
Everyone goes back. Everyone wants to go back to like the 60s or the 50s and go and see Elvis.
No, Roman times.
You wouldn't last. You wouldn't last 5 minutes.
Yeah, they'd destroy me.
You'd be eaten by lions. You'd be thrown to the lions. Everyone wants to go back. No. We kind of know what back was like because we've got photos of the Romans. We've got the Gladiator movie. I want to go 1,000 years into the future.
Why?
Because we've got no idea. What's... Imagine how thin the TV screens are going to be in 1,000 years, and how big they are. When I was a kid, TV screens were like
so.
You can get a TV screen now that's 50 inches. Imagine how big it'll be in 1,000 years.
Is that your teacher voice again?
Yes, yeah, sorry, that was my teacher voice. Sorry, Dad, that was my teacher voice again. Has Ian gone now? Have I lost him?
Have you gone?
I'm looking at Twitter.
Yeah, he's gone.
Oh, no, I feel really bad now.
He's back!
I'm not gone anywhere, I'm just here.
My girlfriend said, don't be mean to him, because he'll just cut you off.
Well, he'll cut you off anyway, to be honest. You might as well do what you want.
That's true, do what you feel. That's right.
Right, I'm going to cut you off now, Jim.
Okay, thank you. Cheers.
Bye-bye. Did we have that ad break, or we got an ad break? Let's have it now.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Hey. We got there. We're getting there. The last 15 minutes of the show. Craig is on the line. Good evening, Craig.
Hi, Ian.
Hey, Craig. How you doing, man?
Excellent.
Yes, good. What you got for us?
With that Time Rider film...
Yeah.
Depending on how late the cowboys were, there were motorbikes in those days.
Well, it was early cowboys.
Oh, yeah, well, fair enough. I expected that.
That's that one sorted. Next.
Film Ring. Yes. Have you thought of this documentary? Have you heard of it, Room 237?
I haven't heard of it. Tell me about it.
Well, The Shining, yeah. It's all...
Oh,
the,
I know it. I know the one you
all
mean.
All the theories about what The Shining meaning
well, well, it isn't basically the premise of that film that The Shining is telling us that the moon landings were fake.
Yeah, there's loads of, like, I suppose they're conspiracy theories.
Yeah. The problem with that film is, and I've heard about it, I've not seen it, but someone from, like, the Kubrick family went, no, it's all rubbish.
Well, yeah, but it's still, like, there's so many people
in it, not, you know, to explain their theories. I imagine someone would want to come and talk about it, even.
The film that I've not watched, that a lot of people have suggested, that looks quite good, is Finders Keepers. Have you seen that?
I'm not sure.
It's about a lost property department. All I know is it's about a lost property department, and they find a prosthetic leg, and that's all I know about it.
No, I have no idea about that.
A lot of people are saying it's very, very good.
Well, it's worth it. I'm going to definitely be watching The Imposter.
Do it.
Whatever you choose. And lastly, David Lynch, and you don't like Mulholland Drive, do you?
Oh, no, I don't, but I'm prepared to give it another go.
What you've got to know about that film is the first half is what she thinks it happened.
Right.
And the second half is what actually happened.
Okay.
You know, the blonde girl in it.
I don't remember. Is that the one that's black and white?
No, it's colour.
Oh, I think
Naomi Watts in it.
What's the black and white film he did?
Eraserhead.
No, he did another one. He did, and I was confusing Mulholland Drive with the black and white film, which
the last something he did.
I'm not too sure. I've just realised it's 10 to 1 in the morning, and I'm knackered.
It's just
hit me. I've had a really busy week.
Good week of shows as well.
The shows are starting to get up to speed now. I'm starting to get happy with it, just in time for us to be taken over by a new company and get the boot. So, the shows have been good. The podcast, I think the new podcast system is working well, where instead of putting out the majority of the first hour, we're putting out the last hour, and that means the podcast goes out a little bit later and all of this stuff. And I think, you know, once we get into the swing of that, Kath's just nipped off to put out the Limmy interview as a podcast tonight, so that's groovy, so that'll be out in a little bit.
Have you looked at his Twitter over the last 2 days?
Limmy?
Yeah.
I've just started, I followed him for ages, then I stopped, and I've just started again. He's not very happy about Gay Sulu.
No. He goes on a mad one about the Ewoks, tell you what.
Oh, what does he say about the Ewoks?
He's on about when they're going to sacrifice the humans.
Yeah.
So he goes on about how Luke, he's going to trick him if he was Luke, and he goes around torturing all the Ewoks because they were going to eat him. It's insane. But he does it over about 15 tweets.
Oh, blimey. I think Limmy is so funny. He's one of those people who's just got a completely unique way of looking at the world and also conveying it.
If you were at time as well, listen to his Richard Herring one that he did.
Oh, did he do one with Richard Herring?
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
So funny. With that thing you said about coming down to do the interview,
yeah,
there's something, nearly something like that happened, and he explains it in that.
Oh, all right. I'll check that out.
Limmy's a star.
I can't get enough of me Limmy. I was disappointed when I caned the whole 3 series and the Christmas special about 2.5 weeks I did it in.
He says he's not going to do any more of the Limmy show, though.
I know. He's not. I meant to ask him if he was working on any more TV shows, and we ended up talking about so much stuff that I didn't get round to asking him.
He's writing another book of short stories because he goes into his process sometimes as well.
Yeah. He shares about how he gets writer's block and how he works through it. And I think he's fascinating. I think he's absolutely fascinating. And his TV series is when I said it was LSD tinged, just like in the way that the Revolver album and Sgt. Pepper are drenched in LSD, so is his comedy show, man. I don't mean it's all like, you know, beautiful colours and stuff. It's not. It's dark and it's awkward and there are long silences and there are bits that make no sense and it's wonderful.
Just like real life.
Craig, it's just like real life. I'm going to move on because I want to squeeze in a couple more callers if I can. Yes, Ross! Hello, Russ.
Hello.
Hello.
Still got a bit of energy left for me.
Are you, mate? You can finish me off if you want. Are you half cut, Russ?
No, mate. No. I do like a brandy, but I'm abstaining this week. I'm back at work tomorrow night.
Oh, so. I see. Yes,
I'm saving myself for my holidays in a few weeks. So I'll let me air down then.
Where are you going?
Scarborough for a fortnight.
Beautiful. Have they got a fair on?
Oh, there'll be a fair, mate.
Are you going to go to Scarborough Fair?
Oh, that fair.
Hey! Come on, Eileen. Whoa, I swear, Eileen, at this moment. You mean everything to me. I confess in the dress at this moment. Oh, come on, Eileen, down.
Come on.
Eileen to right, come on. Eileen to right. Now you have gone. Now you have gone. Oh, Eileen. Come on, Eileen. Etc. That's a great song, that, isn't it?
Oh, it's a beauty.
That is an absolute...
Drunken session.
I tell you what, this is what we'll do Monday night, if we remember. We won't. Songs that are brilliant to sing drunk. Come on, Eileen.
Oh, I've got one.
Go on.
I love you, baby.
Yeah, yeah. I tell you a good one. I remember I mean, steaming drunk in Edinburgh. Steaming drunk, and we're in this restaurant. This like bar restaurant, and we were up in the balcony, and then there were like loads of people in the balcony, loads of people on the floor, and we were singing the Proclaimers. The whole bar was doing it.
Brilliant.
It was flipping that. That was a great one. That was
like a bit of Neil Sedaka on the karaoke drunk.
What Neil Sedaka would you sing when you were boozed up then?
Oh, Carol.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
That's quite fast, considering if you...
Oh, Carol!
Yeah.
It's good, that. Good bit of Neil Sedaka.
Someone mentioned one of my favourite... not favourite films, but it just tickles me, is The Human Centipede.
Oh, God. Well, it would tickle them as well, yeah. I bet it smarts a bit.
Where would you want to be? I wouldn't want to be at the back.
Well, there is no back, because isn't it circular?
They sew them up at the end.
Is it circular?
No, it's a centipede.
Oh, right, yeah, not the human ring.
The back.
Human ring.
Yeah. No,
that's what we're doing at Film Ring, right?
Well, I'd rather be at the front, obviously.
Exactly, you don't want to be the back.
Having someone munching on my ass.
No, Caddick at the back, and Barry from Watford at the front.
Right, we'll be in the middle somewhere, would we?
Yeah, we'll have to go in the middle.
Is it? I heard it was based on a true story.
Oh, is it, heck?
No. I heard it was based on this this guy in Japan, and they found that he had 20 or 25 people sewn up like that, and that's where they got the idea from. Is that right, Russ?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I never tried to make it.
Now you say that rings a bell.
The second one with the security guard.
I don't think the second one was based on a real story. I think that was based on the first one.
Yeah.
But the first one was definitely based on a real story, because the Japanese, I love them, but they're weird.
Oh, they've got a lot of these weird horror films are adaptations of original Japanese.
I think what Ian's saying is that they're prone to kinks.
Yeah.
You're not wrong with a bit of kink. Hey, you got this film ring.
Hang on a second. Say that thing again about there's nothing wrong with a bit of kink.
Oh.
You see what I did there?
Yeah, it's good.
This film ring.
Yes.
I'm going to miss the first one because I'm on holiday. You're doing tomorrow, are you?
No. The live one?
Yeah, the venue.
If it goes well, we might do, yeah.
Right. I think you should come down the Midlands. Do something Midlands based.
Yeah, we don't live there.
Well,
I know we're a national station, and maybe eventually, if it gets a bit bigger. But I think the first few, it's going to be in London just for convenience for us, which is a little bit selfish. But Russ, I've got to go. It's the end of the show. It's the end of the show. I've got to go. And I'm having to cut people off rudely because I've got no fader. If you turn on Gold now, Limmy's show is on.
Oh, is it?
Right now on Gold. I can't rave about it enough. Is the Limmy podcast up?
It's up.
The interview with Limmy, if you missed it, it's up on iTunes now. If you can't see it, keep refreshing. It will appear very soon. All of your usual podcast
providers.
Thank you. And then this last hour will be up on Monday. That's it. Thank you, Catherine. Thank you, Emma. Have a lovely weekend. Dear listener, we'll be back on Monday at 10 for Film Ring. Ta-ta.
Talk radio. Dial up some dialogue.
Talk radio. We'll get you talking.